Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Crazy video that's come out of Texas where you've got a bunch of these parents that are outside this school in Uvalde. Am I pronouncing that wrong?
Uvalde? I think that's right.
And the cops are actually pinning one guy down. They pepper sprayed some parents. And one woman says that the police even tased a father who was trying to get into the school to save his kids. This is a crazy story because what we're talking about are Texas parents. I'm sure some of them must have been armed.
They were, maybe not.
They were armed. Armed Texas parents saying, let me go save my kids. And the cops were like, no. The cops reportedly went in and saved their own kids. But there was one woman who breached the perimeter, made it into the school, got her kids out. So this is actually generating controversy on the left and the right. The left is angry with police. They're like, what's the point of funding these police if they're keeping parents from actually going in? And you got people on the right, they were like, there are good guys with guns. And the cops would not let them stop this guy. So this is an interesting story. We're going to talk about that. Plus, we're going to talk about some of the stuff going on with the Sussman trial, stuff having to do with Russiagate and Hillary Clinton. And we're also going to talk about Truth Social. Plus, we got in Oklahoma, they are now the first state post Roe v. Wade, I believe, but in recent modern history, to ban abortion from the moment of conception with limited exceptions, which is really interesting because depending on which poll you check, people are actually okay with that. Oklahoma basically banned elective abortion. Now, I want to just add something before we get the show started, because joining us, of course, we got a couple really great guests, and Kash Patel is here. And literally, as we're getting ready to do the show, he gets his phone rings.
It says 45.
And it says 45. And then he's sitting here having a conversation with President Trump. And I'm just like, get him on the show, dude. Let's do it. So
I asked him.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah.
We'll make it happen, I guess. Yeah. We'll figure out how to do it.
We'll get Trump's a busy guy. Going. Yeah, but we'll get there.
Right on, man. Well, so joining us is Kash Patel. How's it going, man?
Oh, it's going great. I love to be back. The compound's looking better than ever, man. You put some nice finishing touches on it.
Yeah, it's getting bigger. And we're actually building our West Virginia.
Oh, you're doing that. Okay. Yeah.
It's coming. It's the materials. Steel was hard to get. And so we've got to build as much as we can. So you want to introduce yourself, your started career?
Trying not to put people to sleep. Thanks for having me. Good to meet Adrian. Great to see you guys again. So, yeah. So my life exists on fightwithcash.com, fight with Cash with a K. Doing a couple things since I left the administration. I was the chief of staff for the Department of Defense. I headed up Trump's counterterrorism programs and did some other stuff along the way. Back in the House, Intel days, I ran the Russiagate investigation for Chairman Nunes, put out the Nunes memo, all the Hillary Clinton campaign financing, broke the Steele dossier story, all that stuff. And fast forward to John Durham and Russiagate unraveling and the Sussman prosecution. So I'm looking forward to talk about all of that. But most importantly, I'm very excited about my new children's book, The Plot Against the King. It is Russiagate for children, literally. Instead of talking about critical race theory, we came up with our own CRT. We call it Children's Reading Time. So basically, The Plot Against the King is a medieval story with Hillary Clinton, Keeper Comey, and a shifty knight, who are taken on by a knight named Devard and a wizard named Cash on their quest for truth. And, of course, Joe Biden gave us the biggest promo ever by calling Trump the MAGA king.
Yes.
The day before Donald Trump launched my book on Truth Social, The Plot Against the King. So get it. We want to put it in schools everywhere. The art's fantastic. And we're hoping to stay at number one on not just children's, but become overall number one. It's plotagainstheking.com. You get your own copies.
They did, what did they do, like testing to find the slogan for like 6 months to figure out. And they settled on Ultra MAGA. And all of the Trump supporters are laughing about it. But what I'm seeing from these leftists are like, they're so dumb. Polling showed that people don't like MAGA, so they're buying into it. And I'm like, I don't think these establishment journalist people who are saying this don't realize the right doesn't care about that. It's just about having fun and making jokes. So, Cash, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
We also have Adrian Norman.
Thanks for having me. My intro is far less exciting than Cash's. I'm a conservative writer, author, commentator. I do have my first book that was out prior to the 2020 election was called The Art of the Steal. It's about election fraud prior to the 2020 election. It was supposed to be kind of a warning. But yeah, I'm happy to be here, and thanks for having me out, Tim.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, appreciate it.
What's up, everybody? I'm also in the house. That was a fun call before Donald put Donald on speaker. We got to all listen a little bit. Great guy. Good to see you guys, too, man. I'm looking forward to the show. And thanks for the book, Cash. This is cool looking, man. I'm glad you're the wizard.
We have to be creative.
Yeah, I love it. I'm looking forward to reading this kid's book. It seems delightful. And I see and I know that the volume's a little low, so I'm going to be tweaking that throughout the show a little bit as we go. Thank you guys for joining us this evening. Very excited. Very fun to hear Donald Trump on the phone. So we'll see what the evening has in store for us for moving forward.
Before we get started, my friends, head over to timcast.com and become a member to help support our work. As a member, you'll get access to exclusive members-only segments from this show Monday through Thursday at 11 p.m. We do the Timcast After Hours show, and it's not family-friendly. We swear a lot. It's a lot of fun. And often we talk about the things that YouTube would not appreciate, and so we were able to have that speakeasy. And then sometimes it's just because we want to swear and we're angry, you know, so we let loose. And if you want to watch that stuff, become a member, help support our work. You're also helping support our infrastructure because we use Rumble Cloud Service infrastructure. We want to get away from big tech Silicon Valley. We are also, when you become a member, you'll be supporting our efforts to assert Timcast IRL in the mainstream establishment cultural spaces. So we're going to be doing a whole lot, culture jamming as marketing. You may recall that not that long ago, along with the Daily Wire, I was able to get, with their help, a billboard put up in Times Square calling out a journalist from the Washington Post for doxing libs of TikTok. I'm now going to shout out what has gone up. It went up early, but we have right here a 70-foot billboard in Times Square.
Yes.
So here you can see it, 70-foot billboard, and to the left of it is another screen. We're actually getting two, and it's just an ad for the show. This is how we're starting. The idea is, I don't know if Times Square is going to be actually valuable in terms of marketing, but it is valuable that right above the ABC News building where all of those people work is me. And it's 70 feet tall advertising this show. And so every time they go out for lunch and they come back and every morning when they come in, I'm above them. I'm very happy about that. It's about asserting our presence in establishment cultural spaces so that we can basically say, you are not the elites anymore. How many of you are able to do things like this? We are taking over. We are the new media, and it's thanks to all of you as members we're able to do things like this. Now, it's a bit, vanilla, I guess, getting an ad. So I've been talking with some other trolls and smart people who are good at culture jamming about campaigns we can do every month that serve as marketing, but are going to effectively send the message, you are not the elites anymore. I'm very excited about this. Thank you all so much for supporting the work we do and making this possible. Let's jump into this first story. And I'm using the Daily Beast on purpose.
Oh.
Because the Daily Beast, as you know, is fake news. The Daily Beast, let me slow down. Here's the story. Cops still can't explain agonizing hour-long wait to storm Uvalde classroom. Mm. Distraught parents can be seen literally collapsing into themselves and wailing in anguish as officers refuse to answer their pleas to storm the building. We hear about it all the time from conservatives. A good guy with a gun can stop a bad guy with a gun. Not when the police are being bad guys with guns, right? When they're using their authority and their power to stop you, stop a parent from going and saving their kids. When they went and saved their kids, one mother was able to go in and save her kids. Now I want to point this out. I'm using the Daily Beast because they are fake news. The Daily Beast is certified by NewsGuard as fake news. Proceed with caution. This website fails to adhere to several basic journalistic standards.
Shocker.
I mean, honestly, it is. Because you'd think the Daily Beast is an establishment outlet. They'd get cover from everyone. They were called real news for a long time. No, they're fake news. You are fake news, Daily Beast. But when even the Daily Beast, fake news, is pointing out what was going on there and that cops weren't letting people in, we got a weird story. I mean, something's weird. I don't know what you guys think.
So look, I got to go to the Daily Beast too, because when I cracked the Russiagate code running the investigation for Chairman Nunes back in 2017, 2018, the Daily Beast outed me as a staffer and wrote a whole hit piece on me, which is unheard of when you're a staffer. You're not an actual member of Congress. You're just working there. And they called me a genocidal dictator. So I agree with you. Daily Beast is fake news because I'm not a genocidal dictator. I'm just the son of a man who fled from a genocidal dictator regime overseas. Oh. So who was able to get me out there?
What dictatorship did he flee from?
Idi Amin in Uganda.
Mm. Whoa.
Yeah.
Why did they actually use the words genocidal dictator?
Oh, yeah. And they called me Torquemada.
What's that?
What?
The guy from the Spanish Inquisition who was a genocidal dictator who, like, slaughtered millions of people.
And why? Because you were calling out fake news?
Well, because I was reporting that, you know, we have proven Hillary Clinton, you know, paid for it, the campaign. We were getting going, and it was big news. And they were like, we're going to take this guy out. I didn't think anything would actually come of it. But then there's been a million pieces after that. But they started it.
Well, so what do you guys think about what was going on with you know, these parents? This seems weird to me, right? Well, I will point out, some people have said, look, you don't want a bunch of angry and confused parents rushing into a building. It can get chaotic, especially if they're armed.
I had a moment of empathy when I was watching the video and I heard the screaming parents, where it was just like, if I was that, and all of a sudden I felt like, because of bureaucracy, I don't have a chance to save my kid, and then find out that the kid was killed, is like, like the cops are doing what they were instructed to do, which is don't let the people run inside. They might get hurt. They might cause more damage.
Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/timpool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347.
But my God, when it hits the fan, it's like, kind of the rules are off when your children's lives are at stake. And you need to do what you got to do to save their lives. That was hard to watch.
Yeah, I was reading about this and I was like, I literally cannot imagine what it'd be like to stand there and think that my kid literally might die within the next few seconds if I wasn't to jump in and do something about it. And for the cops to stand there and to tell me not to go in, I would lose it. I wouldn't be responsible for my actions.
Yeah, I spoke with somebody earlier who said that he had some contacts on the ground. And the reason for the delay is that they were... So the shooter had gone into the building, and they were sort of establishing what their protocols were going to be for breaching, which is a little different than this story, because now we come to find out that police actually took the time to go in and save their own kids, but didn't allow parents to go in to save theirs, or didn't make any real effort to save anybody else's. And I think it's sort of a travesty. You know, and this isn't the only situation that we've had with the school shooting where there was a huge delay in terms of a police response. You know, with Parkland, police were told to stand down. Mm-hmm. There was a long delay before any action was taken. You got one guy in there with a gun, and then you got, what, dozens of people outside. It seems like there would be some sort of protocol in place that would allow them to be able to go in and do something.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with law enforcement, right? Coming from a law enforcement background, you want your cop – that's why they sign up, to go in there. You establish a perimeter, all that stuff, but if there's a school shooting, you know, get some bodies in there doing something. And I think that's the biggest complaint. You got to wait for the investigation to come out, because it's going to take forever to get everything right. But my biggest question is, why weren't there a couple cops in there right away? Why?
You guys think that cops should be armed? Or not cops, rather. I'm sorry.
That's
not what I meant to ask. teachers, do you think the teachers should be armed in these schools?
I think if teachers want to be armed, why not? If, because obviously they're going to have to go through some sort of training. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just carry. But if somebody wants to carry, if they've proven that they're able to be responsible and that they have demonstrated a certain level of proficiency with a firearm and they're able to protect kids, you know, if they're carrying concealed, nobody's going to know which teachers are carrying and which aren't. I'm not for forcing any teacher who doesn't want to carry to carry. But mm-hmm. if you have somebody who is open to the idea and they want to be that person and they could be somebody that interdicts a situation like this, I don't see any reason why we should not allow that.
Simple answer, yes. It's not a question of teachers, it's a question of people. I think people should be armed. That's it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, I was workshopping this idea earlier today that I think that the only way to fix this gun problem that we have in the U.S. is to do it from the ground up. That means cultural change. That means someone who's going into a school or someone who's going in to rob a store, they don't know if the person they're about to rob or the person they're about to attack is going to be armed. And that's going to significantly dampen their enthusiasm for doing extremely criminal activities. Obviously, that's not something that the government can enforce, and we need to, like, have a serious respect for guns. But, you know, I hope we could get there.
I don't think so right now, the one thing that really bugs me about the whole issue is there's no real conversation, particularly from the left, on solving these things. They complain about people saying thoughts and prayers. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think thoughts and prayers is solving any of the problems either. It's just kind of like, I feel for you, which is I don't get a problem with it. It's just, okay, great, sympathy, empathy. The left then comes out and gets angry and says, I'm sorry, I got to stop. Not the left, the liberals. The leftists like guns, Leftists are more revolutionary, they like guns. The liberals are like, we need background checks. And I'm like, okay, we got those, what's next? And they're like, no, we need background checks. I'm like, okay, we have those, that already happens, what's next? I don't think, what we hear now from the right is like, we should arm the teachers. That's not going to solve anything either. And I'll tell you why. It may prevent, because some of these guys, some of these psychopaths might be like, a teacher could be armed. That I agree with. But in this circumstance, cops were there.
Hmm.
The good guys with guns were there. The parents were good guys with guns. The cops were. And the cops actually impeded it. The cops were supposed to be the good guys with guns. They stopped it. You look at Parkland, that security guard, didn't he run away?
He
got in trouble for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, I think we have deep-seated cultural problems where... You guys see Beto O'Rourke heckle the press conference on these kids. And I'm seeing, Democrat activists cheer for this. And I'm just like, come on, man, choose your battles. But what Beto did is a contributing factor to why lunatics do this. They know that you're going to get Barack Obama, that you're going to get Beto O'Rourke, and they will scream your name mm-hmm. out to the world with your picture. So that's what they're thinking. They're thinking this is how people will finally know who you are because they're sick. They're nuts.
I think
everybody agrees.
Jordan Peterson tweeted out earlier that we should not be saying the names of these criminals, these killers.
Yeah.
Just don't, because that's what the big part of it is. They want to be famous. They want it to be their final hurrah. And then if they see names get shouted out, that copycats might come up and do the same thing. Thought it was a good point.
Yeah.
Some people have mentioned what we need is cruel and unusual punishment for these people. And I'm like, well, you can't do that under the Constitution, right? But this is their argument is do something in such a way that humiliates them and makes them not want the attention.
Well, the dude that ran up on Dave Chappelle with a knife, like a fake gun with a knife in it, yeah, they broke his arms or his hand. I mean, that was cruel and unusual what they did to that guy. Yeah.
Well,
he had it coming and deserved it. I think you run up on stage at a guy with a knife, you're going to get your body broken.
But that's not cruel and unusual. Cruel and unusual is like a stockade, like taking somebody.
Chucking stones at someone. Yeah.
Yeah. Or burying them up to their neck and then having everybody walk by and piss on them is cruel and unusual.
Well, isn't it if you can like hold them and secure them, then if you kick them while they're down, that's cruel and unusual?
This guy, no, that's not. So, you can argue cruelty if it's excessive, but excessive force is not legal. In the case of the guy with Chappelle, I think his arm got dislocated because they tackled him. They all jumped up and pinned him and dropped him on the ground, and his arm got messed up in the scuffle. If you attack someone and someone is using force to stop you and you get hurt, that's not cruel and unusual. If we capture these people and then, like I said, you bury them up to their neck in dirt and then everyone can walk over and spit on them, that is cruel and unusual. People have argued for one of the memes that goes around is a liberal guy who posted this or people who post this. Calling them tiny pee-pee shooter and giving them these weird names so that forever in history they won't be known by their name but by an insult. I don't know if that actually would work, but I get the idea, and I think they're scratching at the surface of the problem. These people know that every politician, everyone's going to say their name. I'm not going to say this guy's name. I'm not going to mention him. I'm not going to show his picture. You know, but the media does all day, every day. And people tweet about him, and that's what they know they get.
I'm reminded of the oubliette, the ancient Middle Ages punishment. It was just basically a pit, and oubliette means to forget. And they would take criminals, and they throw them in the pit, and that was it. Never mention their name again. Maybe they got fed. Who knows?
Yo, that's one way to do it. Jeez.
It's harsh.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
I don't think it's coming back, though, unfortunately.
I doubt it.
Budweiser would probably sponsor it, but...
Maybe.
Throw Sussman in the pit.
Yeah, man. Let's do it.
I don't know. Those people that January 6th, there's people in solitary. I don't know if that's really an oubliette, but that's people solitary.
That's basically it.
I mean, look, I was a public defender back in the day, and I argued for some of the worst people in humanity because they need a due process. And the same thing. It's like, okay, should you have a bond? Shouldn't you have a bond? While you're waiting trial, presumed innocent. And look, whatever your political positions are on January 6th and whether it should or shouldn't have happened, if you have a 60-year-old grandmother who has never committed a crime in solitary confinement or not given bond, there's something wrong with that situation. That means the judiciary has been politicized. And you're a year on from January 6th, and you have 50-plus people without bond, many in solitary confinement. I mean, all that does is makes them want to plead and get out, plead guilty, not have the constitutional protections of due process and the presumption of innocence and the right to counsel. They just want to rack up political victories, I think. That's my interpretation of what this committee's doing.
I think that the January 6th people is as close as you can get to cruel and unusual without jumping over the line in an obvious way. Keeping people locked up, keeping them in solitary, doing these things is like you mentioned. It's effectively torturing them.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get them to just give up.
That's it.
And it's all politically motivated, too. So it causes people to not have any faith in the system, which ultimately is bad for the country as a whole.
It's terrible. I mean, I've argued both sides, federal prosecutor, federal public defender. And I've just never seen any situation where you just blatantly chuck a bunch of people. I've gotten murderers and rapists out who were charged with those crimes on bond because it was the actual right thing to do based on the facts and the judge made a decision. You have people here with no criminal history who didn't commit a violent act, and they're being held detained.
I don't know if you, you've been following a lot of the trials, I imagine, with January 6th.
A couple of them.
So there were, how many have there been? Have there been three, or have we had more so far?
I think three total trials. I got subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. That's a whole other story. That cost me a fortune.
Wow.
But.
Well, so we did a segment on here, and, I mentioned that for the people who just walked in the front doors that were opened by the cops, how are you going to charge them? How are you going to convict on trespassing when the cops open the door and say, come on in? You know, for people who don't know about trespassing, you got to give a warning. If you don't have a sign on your property that says no trespassing, people can walk on your property. You can tell them to leave, but you got to give them a warning first. If you have a sign, you don't need to give them a warning because the sign is the warning, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So once they enter the property, you've got them on trespassing. The police can issue a charge. I brought that up. These, you know, Young Turks, for instance, said I was stupid and I was wrong. And then what happens? We actually saw a guy get acquitted exactly on those grounds.
Yeah, because the Capitol building is a public free space. Americans can go in and out of there. Foreigners can go in and out of there literally almost any time of day. It's not trespassing. There's certain areas they can't go to.
And the cops are on video opening the doors. Yeah.
Those guys need to be interrogated.
So when we look at... I mean, man, when you look at what's going on with what happened in Texas, there's nothing that unifies this country, right? So this thing happens, and what do we get? What frustrates me the most, I see posts from Democrat activists saying Republicans are spineless and they won't, you know, enact gun reform or things like that. They post, there's a meme going viral where they're like, ban the AR-15. And I'm just sitting here like, none of these people have actually offered up any real solutions. They're not interested in having a conversation about any real solutions. They are mindless drones. Saying ban the AR-15 is literally meaningless.
No, it's like an assault rifle ban, or you know, or shifting the conversation from that's an automatic gun. America doesn't allow the sale of automatic firearms, and it doesn't. There is no.
It does with tax stamps.
Well, right.
Pre-1984 or whatever.
Right.
No. But I mean is, it's like let's approach it from this point. They've banned the AR-15. Oh no! And now everyone's using the AR-10. They've banned the AR-15 and my M1A or my SCAR-20S or like, come on, name a different gun. They exist. They're coming out and they're like, they use this rifle. In many instances with these shootings, it's an AR-style rifle.
Right.
And so they're saying, ban this. And I'm like, yo, you're just not saying anything.
I would like to see a poll of people and what they think AR stands for, because I think a large percentage of Americans think it means automatic rifle.
Yeah.
Or assault
rifle. Or assault rifle.
And it means Armalite rifle, which is the company that created the thing.
Yeah.
But they'd have no idea what they're talking about.
They don't even Google it.
And so what do you get? You get David Hogg, right? He posts in April, like, I bet if I sat down with my critics, we would agree on things. And I tweeted him politely, like, hey, man, come on the show. You know, we'd love to have you. We'll cover it. They don't respond. And so I tried again. He's got no obligation to respond to me, mind you. I'm not, you know, saying he has to. But then he goes on with Matt Walsh. He goes on with establishment personalities that are just playing to the same audience. There's no real conversation happening. I look at that and I'm just like, how could anyone believe that the path forward in this country is going to be unity? I can't see it.
Not anytime soon.
Anytime soon, not even anytime late, to be honest. until we get ripped apart, until
we've got English to bond us, we've got the almighty dollar. I mean, it was basically a decentralized, it's a unification of states, which are all disunified, you could say, but unified under the idea of the Constitution. We all follow the Constitution for the most part. Constitutional law presides in every state. Those are the things that hold us. But our ideas never really were supposed to be the same or anything like that. Even religion, you're allowed to have your own religion.
But they're not following the laws anymore. California, for instance, won't enforce immigration law. And it's actually granted them an extra congressional seat and an extra electoral college vote. Because it's by population, not citizenry. So when you have states outright defying the union and federal laws, why would any other state be like, okay, now what do we get? We get Oklahoma being like, okay, we're going to ban abortion outright. We don't care what the Supreme Court says. That's where we're heading. And I think it is the rule, not the exception, that on the right, there's a conversation around policy issues. Ben Shapiro will yell, debate me, right? That's the meme. On the left, it's the exception. They don't debate. And if they try to, they have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, it's fake. That's why you're not going to get a solution, because they have political epithets that they throw out on any conversation. Gun control, abortion, whatever, immigration, drugs, whatever you want to talk about. But they don't have actual solutions. And you're right. On the right, they'll at least debate them and then try to find an answer like we do for like we did under the Trump administration for the border, for the opioid crisis, for illegal immigration, and for things like, you know, President Trump actually, you know, reformed the criminal justice system more than any president in modern American history. And people don't know that, you know, because he, a Republican president was the one who did judicial reform, which is crazy. It's a crazy concept because it's not popular on the right. But I thought he was doing the right thing and I thought it worked, but it gets covered up because no one wants to talk about those things.
What did he do?
He did a lot of this is getting technical, but a lot of alleviations of, so when we sentence people for drug crimes and they get sentenced unequally because of skin color or ethnic background, it sort of stacks up. So you can eliminate those rules and regulations. You can give the judges more flexibility to reduce those types of sentences. And he basically undid the Biden 98, crime bill. You know, Congress didn't veto it, but you take out a lot of the minimum mandatory sentence requirements, like grandmother gets found with a gun under her bed that she doesn't know is there and her nephew put it there, you're going to send her up the creek for 10 years.
That's insane.
It's insane, but it happens. I've defended people that this happened to. And that's why you can't get any real, actual, you know, true judicial reform without Congress.
Mandatory minimums, in my opinion, is stupidest thing.
It's crazy.
Stupidest thing. I think, you know, our judicial system needs to be human. It's supposed to be. Judges are supposed to interpret the law. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to have, like, grandma, how'd you come across that snub nose? And she'd be like, I don't know. It's not mine. And they'll be like, okay, well.
10 years.
Well, no, it should be like, we're seizing it. If you don't know where it came from and it's not yours, then it's ours now.
Right.
Don't let it happen again. Nobody got hurt.
Did the mandatory minimums come up because judges were giving people they knew, like, low sentences?
They can't unless you fix the law, or unless you give the judges the ability to use this thing called a safety valve exception in federal court. And they didn't have a lot of those tools. But you also have to appoint judges who are going to do that, who are going to see the way things that Tim just said, exercise judicial discretion. And that was a big part of the candidates of, they're not candidates, the appointees that Trump put into the federal judiciary, people who exercise discretion on the criminal side.
I can't speak for federal government, but I know that in Illinois, the mandatory minimums on, say, drug sentencing or burglary sentencing was to deter crime. So the idea was that a criminal would find out that the law was passed. No, they don't. They don't know. They don't care. They just know they know they'll go to jail if they get caught. So you end up with crazy stories. I remember one story was about a teenager who his neighbors went out of town. The neighbors asked this kid, their next door neighbors, to keep an eye on the house. The kid, knowing they weren't there, broke in the back door using the keys because he had the keys, and he stole a beer. Cops driving by saw someone was in there, knowing the people were out of town, went in, arrested him. And then they were like, they said about this kid, like, okay, we don't think he should be charged with anything severe, maybe trespassing. And the DA was like, no, there's a mandatory minimum for burglary. He went in the property, he took something, he burglarized the property. And so apparently, like, it was done. It was 4 years. And the judge was like, I don't want to do this, but it's out of my hands. It's statutory. And then the prisons were like, there is no way we are taking a kid who took a beer to come here. And it was this huge legal battle. I don't exactly remember what happened, but this is a story I heard. I think it was like 18 years ago now, talking about it in Illinois. That's the problem with these things. Anyone can look at that and be like, kid, don't take beer from your neighbors. And the neighbors would have been like, oh, yeah, that's Johnny. Like, okay, well, we're fine with him taking a couple bucks. Courts didn't care. They didn't see it that way. Those things are dumb. So that was good, the crime reform stuff that Trump had done.
Yeah, but the problem is overcorrection, at least in the law enforcement area, in the judiciary, right? Drugs become a problem. They overcorrect. 20-year minimum mandatory sentences for if you're caught with this amount of this or this amount of that. That's a lot of time that most people, like Tim said, don't know about. It's an overcorrection. Same thing with gun control, right? I think it's going to get to a point where there'll be an overcorrection instead of the right correction because it'll be political and not the one that people actually want, and it's going to get messy.
What do you think would be like the right correction or a good for move or gun control?
For gun control, I mean, look, I'm a big 2A guy. I'm all for it, but I think while I agree that we have background checks, I think our background check system isn't good. It's run by the government, and it's not done the way it needs to be done. I mean, that is like the FBI runs it or ATF or whatever, right? But there can be a better system of screening, take another day or two and build a better algorithm to screen out people with prior activities, prior hits, prior contacts with law enforcement, mental illness issues, things like that. People keep saying, oh, we have background checks. Well, you can have background checks, and if they suck, then what's the point?
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds in stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
You're cruising down the highway, windows rolled down, tunes blasting from the radio. You're in the zone and living the dream. Suddenly, your car sputters, coughs, and throws a wrench in your whole day. Tow trucks, repair bills, the dream turns into a nightmare. Don't wait until car trouble steals your peace of mind. Visit CarShield now at carshield.com/Carlson. For nearly 20 years, CarShield has helped millions of drivers avoid the stress of major repairs. They offer plans covering up to 5,000 parts and systems, from your engine and transmission to electronics and more, all for a low monthly rate that fits your budget. CarShield plans also include unlimited miles, 24/7 roadside assistance, and rental options. Get peace of mind now. Visit CarShield online at carshield.com/Carlson. Join millions of customers and contact CarShield now to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Carlson. That's carshield.com/Carlson. Visit now.
But that's step one.
Do they suck? I mean, the first time I went to buy guns, I was on the mandatory wait. I was delayed.
Well, that's government. I mean, it's putting you on a wait list for the government to give you a response. It's kind of standard operating procedure.
I think there's a lot of good intentions in the background check system.
Yeah.
I think reforming it would give you the exact same results.
Really?
Yeah, it's government, man. You know, there's some things I'm okay with mm-hmm. when it comes to government, but I'm like, if it's not working now, what can we do to fix it? Well, I certainly think it's worth looking at trying to fix, for sure. I just think it will devolve. You'll start off really great, mm-hmm. and then after a little while, it'll start to break down. But you know, I will say this: I'm in favor. I would actually agree. I'll kind of, you know, simmer down a little bit. I think one of the problems that we have with government is that we create a program and then walk away from it.
Yeah.
And then what happens is it starts to fester and rot.
Yeah.
If we came back every couple of years and said, let's start it over and reassess, we could actually adapt. And if we're looking at our background checks through the NICS, when you buy a gun, and we're like, how is it not working? What can we do to make it work better? And then we just adapt and move what we're already doing. I think we could maybe improve it for sure.
Right, so let me ask you this. So what do you think the background checks that we have right now are missing?
Data. Hard data about contacts with law enforcement and individuals who've had run-ins with mental hospitals and mental health issues. That's one of the biggest, you know, things. And now that with the advent of social media, we're not capturing all the flags of these guys putting on, you know, you can put up whatever you want on social media. Well, not on Twitter, but on Truth you can. And you can say whatever you want, but if you're out there, you know, screaming with guns on social media about attacking someone, that's got to be flagged somehow, and that algorithm has to be better to capture that data, to give it to the government, to put in that database to screen off of. Because every one of these serial massacres, they all have one unifying connection, and that is a mental health issue of some sort.
But what sort of contact with law enforcement would you flag as being justified to remove somebody's constitutional rights?
Yeah, that's a great question. So not just any contact, but if you had contact and the person appeared mentally ill, then you had them referred for mental health referral and balance check, then that should be, when they go to buy a gun, I'm not saying they should be denied. I'm saying that information should be in the system so someone can go look at it and say, okay, should we give this person a gun? Let's go check on him. Let's go pull all his social media. Let's go see what he's been saying. That's all. I'm not saying you can't get it, but it needs to be better.
So it's like a type of red flag law is kind of what you
Yeah.
Doing. I don't think it works, man.
I don't know.
Look, not every – so you'd have to quantify mental illnesses.
Yeah.
It's not just any mental illness. And then you've got the issue of you're getting dangerously close to free speech.
Yeah.
People can post things, and then what, a background check gives arbitrary authority to some agency that's unseen to be like, we just think this guy's no good. I already think it was bad that when I went to buy a weapon, we get death threats. I mean, we have these issues. I want to take care of myself, protect myself. I go to the gun store and they're like, fill out the forms. They said, you're delayed. We'll let you know. Why? I am a law abiding citizen. I have no history of mental illness. Mm-hmm. There's nothing on my record, but I get delayed. Now imagine they start using people's speech against them.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden now people are having their constitutional rights curtailed, but not even their constitutional rights, their God-given rights to defend themselves from some of these crazy people, from lunatics, or just to keep and bear arms. I mean, regardless, mm-hmm. you have a right, regardless of government, in my opinion, to do it. It gets dangerous when already there is, I think it's the FBI that does it, that does the national instant check system or whatever mm-hmm. it's called. It's already bad enough they could deny you and you don't know why. It happened to James O'Keefe. He got put on the list. Remember this?
Mm.
They just arbitrarily put him on the list and he couldn't buy a weapon. He had to file a lawsuit. Fortunately, he has the support to actually do that. This is why I don't know if there is actually a solution outside of cultural issues. Because we can talk about all of these things we can do. But then you take a look at this dude in Texas and he, first of all, how did he afford the $8,000 in weaponry, whatever? The money should have been a barrier, but it wasn't. Then he passes the background checks. What could have been done? The left says ban the AR-15. So then he buys an AK.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
You're not saying anything. They say do background checks. He passed a background check. Do better background checks. And then what? Regular people all of a sudden can't defend themselves? Look, the end result of what the Democratic position is, I shouldn't say the left. I apologize for that because leftists like guns. I always got to correct myself. They do. They're big on guns. The end result is just ban all guns. That is the only thing. And that even that won't work because 3D printed guns exist. And you can make a gun out of a 3D printed material. You don't need much metal other than the firing pin, a thumbtack, or something.
Well, even in addition to that, I mean, we already have more guns in this country than we have people. Do you think all those people are going to get rid of the guns because you pass a law?
No, they're going to lose them in boating accidents.
I mean, do you think everybody who had a bump stock turned it in? because the government said, nope, can't have it.
Hey, and that was Trump.
And there was one jurisdiction where they had a thing where you could return. I don't know if it was a buyback or not, but they wanted you to return in your bump stocks. And the out of the entire city, they got 7.
Wow.
Oh, wow. 7. What do you think happened to all the other ones?
I heard somebody on Twitter, and they said, you know what we need? We need gun buybacks. We need buybacks.
Who's going to buy them?
The government. And they said, no, no. They were like $5,000 per gun. And I was like, dude, I'll go to the gun store and buy a gun for a couple $100 and then bring it in for $5,000. Are you nuts? I guess their idea is like, yeah, then the government basically buys every gun from every gun store and there's no guns. No, then people start 3D printing them and turning them in for $5,000. Hey, it's $10 in plastic and now I got, you know, it doesn't work, man.
But that's the thing. They're already there. So all it's going to do is create a black market.
Yep. And then that's
if somebody wants to find a gun, they're going to find a gun. If somebody wants to kill, they're going to find a way to kill.
There are videos.
So we got to start addressing the cultural aspects of this and people's behavior. What's triggering people now that these young kids want to start slaughtering their classmates when this hasn't been a precedent in the United States until, 1999? We've had guns in the schools and guns in kids' hands since the 1800s. This is a very recent problem.
I'm looking at the pharmaceutical industry and kids on Klonopin when they're 12 or 14. Well, Butrin, Prozac, Adderall, my gosh, Adderall, it's an amphetamine. And then the kids don't know, have emotions. They never cried it out when they were 13 because they didn't feel the tear. They didn't feel it. And now they're lashing out like wild, mindless, or emotionless, rather.
Giving kids amphetamines or SSRIs, just all of this stuff that kids are being pumped full of. And I also got to say, social media.
Yeah.
We talk about the media aspect of this, how these shooters think they're going to get notoriety, but it's also... People were, I don't know much about this. Maybe you guys saw this where people on Discord were apparently egging this guy on. You see this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen posts before. People are like, you know, do it. You're a loser. You won't do it. And they try and egg him on.
That's not helpful.
It feels like it's so entrenched. Like, I'm like, okay, you could homeschool your kids, arm the teachers, and take the kids off of psychoactive pharmaceuticals. But, like, that's like, all right, Titanic, you're about to hit the iceberg. Turn left. Like, it sounds like... First of all, how in the hell are you going to do all that? The pharmaceutical industry, it feels like, from my perspective, that it's so entrenched in our existence at this point. I don't know how many billion-dollar industry it is. And, like, the way Pfizer just ran the COVID response, seemingly, like, they were in charge. Somehow a corporation was in charge. I don't know how to get pharmaceuticals out of 12-year-olds' hands exactly. But, I mean...
It's a scary reality, man.
You got to educate the parents.
But, you know, I'd be willing to bet that if you start talking about the pharmaceutical role and what's been happening in this country, the dramatic spike, I'd be willing to bet this. Maybe I'm wrong. There is going to be a visible correlation between the increase in medicating children and the increase in violent outbursts, general violence, and maybe mass shootings or things like this. General violence. Because I think the drugs are messing kids up. But if you start talking about that, you know that Big Pharma's funding all of these networks. They're not going to say it. You know, have you ever seen that meme where it's like, you know, local news brought to you by Pfizer? It's like CNN brought to you by Pfizer and ABC and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not going to be on one of these big networks bad-mouthing the pharmaceutical companies. Or scaring parents.
Odd, because it is. I mean, it's got to be the pharmaceutical. It's got to be the drugs. It's got to be psychoactive drugs and the 14, 15-year-old kids. What else? I mean, it's driving them insane. Right?
I don't know if it has to be. I think it plays a role. Gosh, I think social media plays a huge role, man.
Yeah,
I think it's a combination of factors. But what frustrates me the most is that for many people on the left, their only response is to want to confiscate guns to curtail the civil rights, to curtail the constitutional rights of people who have committed no crime at all. We have some so. If we're looking at a scale of things that are reasonable versus not reasonable, it seems that would be very reasonable to suggest, hey, why don't we lock down our schools and have a single point of entry, single point of exit, and a security guard? That's something very easy that we could do. That's something that would be incredibly cost effective given how much money we spend on other things like $40 billion to Ukraine. And every single time we propose a common sense solution, you know, they dig their heels into the ground and they say no. Their only answer is gun control.
Yeah, yeah. And gun control, it's just doesn't do anything.
I'm really concerned about, I think you mentioned red flag laws earlier, and like if someone has a medical marijuana card and the government has it scheduled as a narcotic for some freaking reason.
Yeah, you're out. If you get this is really messed up. If you have a medical marijuana card, you can't get a gun.
As it currently stands. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't freaking get a handgun.
And I remember I was in California and I was skating in Venice. And there are these guys that stand outside of these shops. And they're like, yo, yo, weed card, weed card, weed card. And I'm skating. And the dude goes, bro, 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 come here, come here. And I was like, I stop. What up? And he goes, you got your weed card yet? And then I was like, what do I need a weed card for? And he's like, oh, medical marijuana, dude. He's like, you got to get medical marijuana, man. And then I was like, I don't need it. And he goes, oh, no, you got something. You got to talk to the doctor, man. You don't know until you talk to the doctor. And then I was like, I'm healthy and I got nothing wrong with me. And he goes, you skateboard, your feet hurt? And I was like, I mean, sometimes, like, oh, dude, you need weed. You got to come and talk to the doctor, $5.
I got my medical card in San Francisco, and they're like, so what's the problem? I was like, I'm stressed. He was like, what's stressing you out? I was like, the Federal Reserve has a monopoly on our monitoring system. And the guy was like, signed. He just gave it to me.
But now you can't get a gun.
Well, not in California. I don't know. Maybe not in California. I don't know my license anymore, but I don't know how those laws work. It's crazy.
I don't know how absolute it is. Mm-hmm. It might be if, like, you're a current user, those cards can disqualify you.
Yeah, can't handgun.
If you have a card, you see what they do?
Yeah.
Wow.
How many people were like, oh, yeah, I'll get a card. It's $5. I might not use it. And boom, now it's like you got to put that on the form, and they're going to deny you. The background check form you fill out asks you if you've used drugs. So what?
But not alcohol? Doesn't mention alcohol, or doesn't mention pharmaceuticals either?
Well, hold on.
Right. It does mention alcohol.
The good news is there is an exemption, okay, if you're Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. You just got to toss your illegally purchased firearm into a dumpster afterwards.
Cool. Yeah.
So for those that don't know, he lied on his form, and then his wife did it or something. She threw it in a garbage can.
Dumpster behind a school.
Yeah, behind a school.
Insanely illegal.
Oh, man.
And then Joe Biden comes out, and he's like, I care about this. Like, no, you don't. Arrest your kid and then we'll talk.
No, Joe Biden, while this was going down, he was on another network giving a speech or something unrelated to this. Just flip the roles. If there was a school shooting massacre and Donald Trump didn't stop everything he was doing, rightly so, and shift to the school shooting, stop whatever event he was at. But Joe Biden, like you said, he doesn't care. He was out reading some teleprompter somewhere while 20 children just got murdered. If you really cared, you stop and you get your ass down to Texas and you say, I'm here. I care.
He didn't go to Waukesha.
He didn't go to
Waukesha. He's like, oh, I'm busy. And then what does he do? He comes out and he's like, we're deer wearing Kevlar. It's like, dude, are you hunting deer with handguns? What do you mean by this? I'm sorry. They're not saying anything. They're not saying this. I genuinely want the violence to stop. I want to solve this, okay? And so I am not a gun expert, but I know a little bit more than the average person, and I own several. And so having been to the range, having talked with instructors, having been given instruction, having learned about the laws and having to deal with it myself, I'm like, interesting. And then every single liberal that I talk to about this will say something that makes no sense. Like, there was that famous news video, I think it was CNN, I'm not sure, they said fully semi-automatic, not a thing. They think silencers are pew, pew, pew. They've never actually heard what
it's a suppressor. They've watched a movie, though.
They've watched a movie and pew, pew. They think they think these things. And then it's just fascinating when they say ban the AR-15, and I'm like, you're not saying anything. I don't know how to solve this, man. If you can't actually engage, I made a tweet about it. I said, with all of the death and destruction, it's time to do the only logical thing and implement gun policy based on the opinions of people who've never handled or researched guns.
That's right.
The Democratic Party.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, I'm glad we solved the 2A issue tonight.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm at the point now when they come out with these emotional attacks or whatever, I'm just like, I literally don't care. You're not going to come to me, and I'm tired of playing this, and I'm not going to pander to anybody. I'm not going to be – you know what's really funny is every single time everyone addresses a school shooter, they go deep into this psychopath, this deranged person. We get it. Like Ted Cruz is talking to a journalist, and he's like, this psychopath, and I'm like, that's what everybody does. And it's predictable they do this, but we all know – no one in good faith is going to be like, oh, Ted Cruz didn't think the person was crazy. We know these people are crazy. We all get that.
But it's going to be tough to find a solution when one party has no vested interest or no real interest in actually resolving the issue. They just want gun control. So it's hard to have an honest conversation. They're never going to come to the table and accept the fact or publicize the fact that 89% of all gun deaths in the United States are due to gang violence and suicides.
Yeah.
You know, school shootings are an incredibly rare event. Gun deaths in general, outside of suicides and gang violence, are an incredibly rare event. But given how the media covers it, you'd think that we have a crisis of mass proportions in the United States. Even if you look at it on a per capita basis, you know, deaths per 100,000, The United States doesn't even rank in the top 10 for mass shootings.
Yeah, and it's mostly with handguns. Most mass shootings are handguns. And we never talk about Chicago. And this is another, it's like a cliche response you'll get from a lot of people, especially on the right. But I get it. Look, kids dying is a shock to the system. I understand why we talk about that for sure. But we do have mass shootings all the time in Chicago, in Baltimore, in Detroit, in these cities. No one seems to care about them.
So I guess black lives don't really matter to them, huh?
Yeah. Well, did you see that video where the guy walks up to the hospital where everyone's got the signs and he says, "Do black lives matter?" And they're like, "Yes." And he's like, "What about the babies that are being aborted?" He's like, "Yeah, I didn't think so." Mm-hmm. So I certainly think when they call Candace Owens a white supremacist, these are not serious people. When Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy, these are not serious people. Yo, I would love to solve these problems and move this country forward, but it's seemingly impossible. Now, I'll fully recognize there are people on the right who are just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
But the thought leaders within the right are having the conversations. People like, I'll just shout out, Ben Shapiro's got one of the biggest podcasts in the world. He is a conservative. He is a very mainstream, traditional conservative, Orthodox Jew. And he is all about having conversations with people. Why not have those conversations? Some people do. But when we try and invite prominent people on the left, they won't do it. They won't have these conversations. And when I try to engage with them, they don't have the answers. They don't have any proposals that make sense. There's something about the arrogance that we see with the establishment Democrats, and don't get me wrong, the uniparty Republicans along with them, where there's almost no interest in getting anything done. Let's jump to this next story, though, while we're talking about getting nothing done. This is actually something getting done, actually. TimCast.com reports Oklahoma governor signs law banning abortion from moment of conception. Woo. This is interesting. They crafted this abortion ban off of liberal arguments, leftist arguments. They say House Bill 4327 went into effect immediately upon signing and bans abortion unless the procedure is necessary to save the life of the mother or is the result of rape, sexual assault, or incest that has been reported to law enforcement. Removing a miscarried fetus or ectopic pregnancy will not be considered abortion. There it is. Every argument from the left has been addressed.
It's brilliant.
It basically bans elective abortion. That's it. This is the only state in the nation to have banned elective abortion. Most, I believe there's maybe like a dozen or two states that have elective abortion to the point of viability or at viability, meaning the baby can survive. And then you have seven states plus Washington, D.C. that allow you to abort a baby at 9 months. Now, hold on. I can already hear the liberals screaming. I did not say it is a common occurrence. That is not my point. My point is it is illegal, and so it happens sometimes. I don't care if it's rare. If it's not an issue and it's not happening all the time, why is it legal? Why should it be allowed? Additionally, as for this law, this appears to be the majority opinion of this country, that people want abortion to be legal only in certain circumstances. Well, here it is. This is what Oklahoma's done, right?
I thought that, maybe I'm wrong, Roe v. Wade, does that not protect, or does that not say that the states cannot ban abortion?
It certainly does.
So how is this guy signing a bill that bans it?
The same way that California doesn't enforce immigration laws.
Whoa.
That's right. California
sanctuary status.
They're a sanctuary state, and they will not cooperate or work with federal law enforcement.
You know, I respect the state's rights to do that. It's not even about if I agree with it or not. I respect that that's how the United States works. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I absolutely don't. No. I do not.
You don't like the governors can go rogue?
I don't like the governors can go rogue.
They got to, because DeSantis, man, he was like a beacon during the COVID pandemic. Florida thrived.
Sure, there's differences between Florida being like, we're not going to agree with federal guidelines on a lot of these things, and we're going to run our state the way we want. There's another thing when, at a federal level, when it comes to things like illegal immigration or slavery or abortion, we're like, there are certain things that this country has not made, that has made illegal. Now, the reason why I don't like it is if you look at what California's done, by not enforcing immigration law, they inflate their population to a certain degree, and then congressional seats are apportioned based on population size.
And Electoral College.
And Electoral College means California got an extra vote in the presidency. So when people say illegal immigrants vote, let me correct you. They do not individually go out and vote, but it doesn't matter. We elect our president through the Electoral College. They don't need to vote. Their presence grants an extra vote to California. Now, California lost a vote, I think, in the last, due to the last census. But before this, constantly just allowing people to come in, granting them free healthcare, they're putting a strain on the surrounding states. And imagine you are, you know, Nevada or Idaho or Arizona, and you've got people going into California, staying there in violation of the law, and then they can cross over from the West into your state that's already dealing with a border crisis. Mm-hmm. That's an issue for other states that's infringing upon those states' rights. This is the kind of issue that literally resulted in the Civil War.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
The South, they had slaves, and they said the North should abide by federal law, right? Well, the federal law had the Fugitive Slave Act, and the North was not abiding by it. I mean, I agree with. That I think the problem, I think slavery should have been abolished. The issue for the South, though, was that if the federal government was not going to be able to enforce these laws, then why should there be a union at all? Well, there you go.
Well, that's the issue. It's the federal government. So, you know, the 10th Amendment, reserve power, states should be able to do all these things, X, Y, and Z, that are not granted in the Constitution of the federal government. So I think a hybrid of what you guys are saying is sort of workable. The problem with the sanctuary state staying on the immigration issue is that it's not being enforced. Like, the federal government could go and enforce the law in California. They are electing not to do that. They are electing to break our own federal statutes. That's my problem, because they agree with the policy decision in California that overrides a federal statute. Someone should be going to jail on this and enforcing this law and allowing our immigration authorities to go in there and not do that. But the way they work it is they basically go into all the jails when illegal immigrants come over and make first contact with law enforcement, and the ICE detainers aren't applied. They're just like, we're not doing it. We, California, are not doing it. It's a federal offense. Someone should go prosecute the governor.
I suppose, you know, we can say this too. You're just looking back on what I literally said. It's an issue of our personal morals and worldviews as to what we think is fair and acceptable.
Yeah, because weed, for instance, California was like, it's legal here, and the feds we're going to protect you from the feds. That was basically, and then the feds were like, all right, they proved their point. We're not messing with California anymore.
No, that's not true.
Well, for the most part,
yeah,
it got
I think
better.
Obama was like, send in the troops.
Kind of.
The but DA was storming
dispensaries. It laxed. When I was there in 2006, it was very dangerous to have a weed card, but then by 2010, it was totally cool.
There are some instances, I suppose. I think the illegal immigration issue is probably what I mostly disagree with, and I think maybe the states asserting themselves is probably a good thing, so maybe I'll walk back a little bit. The thing about the illegal immigration is that it affects the entirety of the country in a very serious negative way politically. Mm-hmm. It actually takes congressional seats from somewhere else and gives it to a state, so it's almost like stealing influence, whereas the weed thing is not that big of a deal. And like I was just saying, you know, when the North was refusing to return slaves, that was a good thing. The North saying, screw you, we don't care about your law. Okay, that I agree with. So maybe there are positions where the states should say screw off to the federal government.
Could the federal government just refuse to acknowledge the population growth of California if they know that there's illegal immigration?
Well, that's what the Trump administration tried to do with how they were doing the census back in 2020. They wanted to not include illegal aliens.
Right. So that's the whole point of the census. It goes to the Electoral College and a couple other things, but that's what he tried to do. That the census was basically saying you're counting them wrong. You're counting illegal people in the census, and the census is supposed to count Americans because we only have X amount of electoral votes. There's no new ones. It's not like you're getting another one. Like Tim said, I think what most people don't get is it's not like California got a plus one and everybody else stayed the same. Somebody lost one. That's the problem. That was a matter that Trump was trying to take on. He's like, why should they lose one if their their population is remaining the same and another population is increasing with illegally present individuals? That was the heart of the matter.
And they didn't want to like show who was legal. They didn't want people coming in being like, show me your papers, because they thought it was like Nazi Germany and people would get arrested, families would get broken up, and that's why there was so much resistance to it.
Yeah,
I think that that's a lie. Like I think they know exactly what they're doing.
Who's it? Like California?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure they do.
And
yeah.
So, but they'll come out and be like, it's racist.
Sure.
It's easy. It's easy to say it. Right. It's yeah. Like, and it works. You know, all the headlines. Yeah, everybody's a racist if you're not for illegal immigration. I'm for legal immigration, and I'm just not for illegal immigrants wrecking our society.
I mean, what's your ethnic background?
Indian.
So you're the Indian face of white supremacy.
Yeah. I'm the yeah. I'm Brown Lives Matter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's how do regular people fall for that stuff, right? Calling Larry Elder the black face of white supremacy.
But it's just easy.
Nuts.
It's just an easy epithet that's meaningless. And it's like we were talking about earlier. It doesn't solve anything. No one's having an actual conversation. They're just like, oh, that sounds cool. Let me go blast it on social media and get popular.
It's used so much now, though, that it's lost all of its meaning.
Yeah, I think it's Roman supremacy. And that we didn't talk about. We talk about empires and how empires fall. But like the Roman Empire is still so heavily entrenched. The Roman Catholic Church. The Roman, and like the Roman, I don't know where else you want to go with it, but.
Why the Romans?
The Roman Empire. We're basically the vestige of the Roman Empire right now.
We are.
The Roman Catholic Church is basically the Holy Roman Empire that lasted for another 1,000 years after the Roman Empire fell apart.
Maybe a little too.
And then they call it white.
Derivative. I mean, if you want to go back, you can keep going back beyond that and talk about all the other cultures.
You could. The Romans were pretty unique in history. Like white, when you talk about white supremacy, it's really Roman supremacy. The slave state of the Roman Empire.
I don't agree.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of that tonight.
There wasn't.
What's in your water?
I mean, the Europeans were, you know, it's an amalgamation of the Roman.
It fractured. Yeah. They all became their kind of similar but different, you know, cultures. Then we got colonization. It's a really interesting history. It's fascinating. The Roman Empire breaks up. Then you get all these, you know, countries emerge sharing a language in some ways and not in others. Then they go off and colonize other areas, competing with each other, going to war. It is pretty crazy.
Yeah, they took Germany, France, and Spain, and Italy, the Romans, and then, of course, the Empire.
But I just think there is a majority privilege, right? I think when you look to any country, the people who look mostly like each other typically are, you know, more likely to work with each other. In China, they're all racist to people who aren't Chinese. Mm. So these things, they happen, but to blindly just come out when someone has a legitimate critique or political concept and to insult them as racist, to say simultaneously that only white people can be racist, but Candace Owens is a white supremacist, I'm just kind of like, you lost me, because I don't think you're actually saying words anymore. I think it's just a cult.
Well, I'm not a racist. I'm just a genocidal dictator. Remember, they skipped the racist.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, right. The Daily Beast said right. That.
So, you know, I wonder what it feels like to be called a racist. I don't know.
You think we're all a little racist? Small R racist? I think that you're right more that it's more about familiarity bias. People aren't necessarily right. Racist. Just whatever you've been around
well,
is
my
what
family
you're comfortable
first,
with.
Yeah, when my family first came here, my dad has 8 brothers and sisters and their wives or husbands and their kids in one, you know, one place. I don't know that we were racist, but they didn't know the world. They hung out with Indian people, not because they didn't want to hang out with other people. They just didn't know what the heck to do. My mother wore sari to the grocery store for 10 years because she didn't know what else to wear.
I would like to go on record and just say I hate everybody equally.
See, that's smart.
There you go. Let's just totally jump onto a different subject. I want to talk about what's going on with Sussman, the Clinton campaign, yeah. And all that stuff. Oof. So we have this story from CNN. And it's from May 17th. Just something to kick things off. Prosecutors say Clinton campaign lawyer tried to manipulate the FBI with Trump-Russia tip at first Durham as first Durham trial opens. So we've heard a lot about this, the trial of of Sussman, mm-hmm. Michael Sussman. Do you want to break down what this is all about? What's the elevator pitch on this story for people who aren't familiar with what's going on right
all
now?
All right, let me give you the triangle. And the quick and dirty is, it's all up for free at DurhamWatch.com on Fight with Cash. You could literally get everything I'm about to tell you. All the documents, so you can read them yourselves, all the transcripts, all the judicial pleadings and everything over at DurhamWatch.com. But here's the triangle, okay, right? Democratic Party under Hillary Clinton is running for president, and they're like, okay, we are going to do a couple of things. We are going to run two lines of effort to take out then-candidate Trump. We are going to use the FBI to do it. We're going to use the media to do it. And then the Hillary Clinton is going to be the third piece of that triangle, their campaign. So the Steele dossier, we've talked about that in the show before, the hired help from overseas to filter in unverified information to the FBI knowingly lying to a federal court to surveil Donald Trump. And of course, the Hillary Clinton campaign funded that entire thing. We know that. We proved that in the Russiagate investigation. John Durham's next indictment after this one is the Danchenko case he's trying in the fall, is the Christopher Steele source, the takedown of that line of effort one. Line of effort two was the Hillary Clinton campaign on a parallel track running, let's just call it the Alpha Bank server deal, right? Because it's just easier to quantify as that. That's what Sussman's on trial for. Michael Sussman was one of the head lawyers for the Hillary Clinton campaign at this law firm, Perkins Coie, right? Hillary Clinton campaign paid them $50 to $100 million for services. They took that money and doled it out to people like Fusion GPS, Christopher Steele, and the Alpha Bank server. This parallel track, what are they doing on this? They said, okay, the Steele dossier route isn't enough. We need a backup. So they went out and hired this tech guy, Rodney Jaffe, okay? And basically said, we need you to go find a connection between Trump and Russia. And here's where we want you to do it. Get technical, get us computer details that show Trump Tower is connected to Russia through this bank, right?
So and so they're fabricating a narrative.
Literally. And what's come out in this trial is exactly that. The information was taken to the FBI, and the FBI said the next day they knew it was false. That's wow. what the agents testified yeah. to during this case.
Yeah. And so Russiagate should have stopped immediately.
Well, Russiagate should have stopped, but it didn't, because you had a couple of corrupt FBI cops, Comey, McCabe, Strzok, this Hyde guy, who were running the whole thing. But not only were they running it internally, they were running it with the media. What came out in this trial is all these guys at Michael Sussman, Fusion GPS, Hillary Clinton, they were all meeting with the media. They were sending Christopher Steele to meet with the media. They were sending Rodney Jaffe to meet with the media. Why? Circular reporting. The FBI is like, oh, look what CNN's publishing. Must be true. We have a source that says that. Here's the kicker of the whole thing. Both Christopher Steele and Rodney Jaffe, FBI sources.
Yep.
The entire time. And they both got fired. Why? For leaking to the media. But here's what the FBI did. They kept taking their intel to prosecute their case against Donald Trump once he became president. So it is the biggest criminal enterprise in U.S. history. From my perspective as a former federal prosecutor, I'm probably biased because of Russiagate, you know, living through that, running that investigation. But it's a story that needs to be told. And I think the only way, going to sort of the accountability portion, because you can run constitutional oversight in Congress, and we got 17 people fired, including Comey, and that's a start. What John Durham has done is basically mobilized this thing and said, okay, I'm going to take some people out with indictments.
So the Russia collusion narrative is false.
100%.
We learned that with the end of the Mueller probe right away, that it was a lot of nonsense.
He said it too, yeah.
But you, I think you along with Devin Nunes, mm-hmm. you know, you had a report basically a year before the end of the Mueller probe, I think it was. So we've consistently learned that something was just not true in all of this. But now we actually have in the investigation that from the get-go, FBI knew it was not true, mm-hmm. a lot of this information. Did Hillary Clinton directly know what they were doing in terms of fabricating the narrative?
And here's the kicker.
Just real quick, yes, she did?
She did. But the kicker is, we knew it. We were able to prove it with classified information, documents that were coming in slowly, but we couldn't tell the world. What happens now? Hillary Clinton's campaign manager from 2016, Robbie Mook, testifies for the defense in the Sussman prosecution. And literally testifies under oath and says, oh yeah, Hillary Clinton not only knew about it, acceded to it, and directed us to go and leak this bogus intel to the media.
Wow.
That's the most damning statement to come out of this trial.
Watergate on steroids, huh?
Yeah, man. And it's, I think the trial wraps up tomorrow. And, look, the best, if people want to understand Russiagate, you need to do two things. Go read the Nunes memo, which we wrote, 4 pages. It'll take you 12 minutes. Take 90 minutes of your life and go watch the plot against the president.
Is there some kind of like how do I describe this? Is there some reason why the people who believed this are the same people who believe Jussie Smollett?
Hmm.
Yeah, the one unifying factor on all of this, the one thing that threw the FBI's top level off and became total partisan hacks was their unified hatred for Donald Trump. That's what it was. It is corrupted our law enforcement industry from just the top level. The main guys, they're great, but here's the thing. The cast of characters that read the Hillary Clinton email investigation, the server thing, same FBI agents involved in this case and the Steele dossier.
Trump derangement syndrome.
Why did they dislike him so much?
That I don't know. I honestly can't answer that question. I have no idea, but it's never been an issue. I served in Democratic Justice Departments, Republican Justice. You just did the mission. You're just like, this is a job. This is easy. This is a fun part. Go put bad guys away. They were just like, nope. King Comey was in there, Hillary Clinton, and the media, and they were basically like, we are going to take out Trump. And then once he won, they were like, okay, we screwed that up, but we're still going to take him out. And they continue to bogus. Do you have any idea how much taxpayer money it costs to run these investigations?
Jeez.
You have any idea? It's hundreds of millions of dollars to do this kind of surveillance work on a target. It's insane. And it was all bogus.
Now, how much of this is normal politics? Do they do this all the time?
No.
This is crazy.
I mean, this is that FISA court, the special court, whatever you want to call it. I used to do it to manhunt terrorists. That's what it's for, you know, to protect the nation. It's not for a political campaign to come in and say, we're going to create a national security issue, and oh, by the way, the target's my political opponent.
So why isn't Hillary Clinton in jail?
Man, proving that is going to be very hard, that she broke a federal law. Now, what you can do, and what John Durham's doing, I think, is building a conspiracy case behind these indictments. Because he said in federal court, in writing, on his pleadings, he said, Judge, there's a joint venture conspiracy. It's a legal term. What does that mean?
Wow.
He's like, Judge.
He said that to the judge.
Oh, yeah. It's on DurhamWatch.com. Go get the pleading.
Wow.
It's his under oath statement. Basically, that's what a pleading is to a federal judge. And he's saying, not only is Rodney Jaffe, the tech giant, the tech guy, a target of my investigation, but I am looking at multiple people in the media. I'm interrogating FBI agents who worked on this case and also people on the Hillary Clinton campaign. He can't name those people, but he can give them by title. And he's telling the world, I'm conducting a criminal conspiracy investigation because this didn't happen with one or two people.
So two-part question for you. So what needs to happen, in your opinion, to restore faith in these institutions? And then what happens to the country if that faith in these institutions isn't restored?
What happens is you see a continuation of what's going on right now. And it doesn't just trickle into just the political sphere. It trickles into everything when they're talking about, is the FBI doing the work across the country to reduce crime? Whatever type, murder, guns, narco trafficking, human trafficking, everybody loses faith in their ability just to do those few things. And then we're just completely screwed. But the fix is the manpower, right? Whoever runs these agencies, you have to go find that guy. And Chris Wray is definitely not that guy. The guy who's running it now, he's almost as bad as Comey because he's allowed this entire thing to go on for four or five years now. And unless you get rid of these guys, but the political leadership doesn't want to. And this is the problem I have with my DOJ, my former place of work. They always champion themselves as being like, we're apolitical. We are historically apart. We don't take our orders from the president. Well, you actually do. And you allowed a presidential political candidate to give you your orders and to pay you and to pay for corruption to take over the top level of the FBI. And you need accountability. You need some of those people to be convicted in federal court. That's a piece of it. Then you need to put the right people in place.
I'm kind of disillusioned, to be honest.
I know.
You know, when the email thing was going on, I love how most Democrats, it's a joke. You know, they have a meme where they amongst themselves will say, like, but her emails, whenever something crazy happens, but her emails. And I'm like, dude, yeah, like someone working in public office destroyed public records. That's crazy. They don't care.
I know.
My attitude is, I was always a Trump's not that bad kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't vote for him the first time. Voted for him the second time because Joe Biden was just so awful. And I liked the second term agenda. But I was always, like, very early on when Trump was running and everyone's screaming about him, I was always but Trump's not that bad. I mean, like, this is crazy. He's worse than Hitler. What are you talking about? Calm down, dude.
Well, I think the part of the problem people have is the double standard. Mm-hmm. I read a story about a naval officer. He was on a submarine and took a photo of where he worked, his sub, in a hallway, nothing classified, just to show his kid. And it got out that he had taken this photo, and because it's all classified, they indicted him. He was prosecuted. I think he did a little bit of jail time for one single photo that wasn't exposing anything sensitive at all. Meanwhile, you have Hillary Clinton, who had a private server with God knows how many emails, 30,000 emails on it. Right. And not only was all of this classified information and information that was born classified on this server, but this server was exposed to other nations. And was and we had vulnerabilities to where she had vulnerabilities to where all of this documentation was available to China, to Russia, to people who could weaponize that information against the United States. So when people look at those two circumstances, you got a guy who just wanted to show a picture to his kid, what? Who did jail time, and then this offense, and absolutely nothing is going to happen to this person. It just it's I can see how the country would be disillusioned in thinking that we're basically a banana republic, where if you're a certain part of the political class, if you come from a certain pedigree, then you're above the law, and the rest of us just have to deal with
it. Wasn't there some guy who went on Reddit, and he was like, I need to figure out how to delete emails from a VIP. Do you know about this story?
For Hillary Clinton server?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, literally smashing of servers. There was people, like, Googling how to delete stuff.
There was a guy, people using hammers on phones. But there was one story. I don't know if it's verified or whatever, but someone apparently... This is the story, okay? So somebody went on Reddit and said, I need to find a way to remove someone from a bunch of emails. They're very VIP. And then once the email, like, so it was like, it was an old post. Someone found it. And they were like, yo, I think this is the guy who works for Hillary who was posting this. So it's an old story. I don't know the full details on, but there was tons of stuff like that, at the very least, the smashing cell phones with a hammer.
It's the, but yeah, it's the.
It doesn't do anything. It's stupid, but it's funny. Yeah.
It's the double, double standard.
When I saw Hillary's emails released to the public through WikiLeaks, and I read about Sidney Blumenthal talking to her, like so many emails between her and Sidney Blumenthal and his company Osprey Global Solutions, they're like, Hillary, you know, when we get into Libya, we're gonna set up Osprey to run guns, basically for this new puppet government that you're gonna set up. So she's like, all right, Sid, and she sends it over to her whoever, her manager or assistant or whatever to read these. Like, so she's basically took us to war to set her buddy up with an arms deal. I mean, so I read that. I was like, well, logic dictates I will not vote for that. I no longer support that. Maybe it's always been that corrupt, but I mean, there's some sunshine.
Let's throw some shade at the media real quick. One of my favorite moments was when I think it was in the 2016 debates. Trump says Hillary Clinton acid washed her server, and NBC News issued a fact check saying false. Hillary Clinton did not put a corrosive chemical on her computer, and it was like what?
What?
That's not what Trump was saying.
That's got to be the Onion. What? Who did that?
Yeah, NBC News. Yeah. I think it might have been NBC. Let me.
But that's just a piece of it. That's part of the problem. You're saying how do you fix it? And I forgot to address it. I don't know if you can. I don't know what's easier to fix. I think personally I could go in and fix the FBI in 5 months. I don't know how you fix the media. Hmm. You guys are the experts there. Like, how do you get the ability for 5 years, half the world and half of America thinks Russiagate and Donald Trump actually colluded with Russia. They are now finally starting to pull back those stories because of these prosecutions. But how do you stop them from – they knew the facts back then. They just didn't want to report it.
Here, check this out. Can we pull this up? Can we get it? It says, the claim, Trump says Clinton acid washed her email servers. The truth, Clinton's team used an app called BleachBit. She did not use a corrosive chemical.
No.
NBC News fact check. So welcome to the modern media, my friends. Wow. Amazing.
And that's the problem. And how do you fix that? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how you fix the media. I think that's a harder fix than the government.
Let's talk about one thing is Truth Social.
Heck yeah.
So I have Truth Social here, and this is what my Truth Social dashboard looks like. So when Cash got here, you mentioned Truth. You were like truthing something.
Mm-hmm.
I think the branding is bad, by the way. Like truthing it. I don't know. But, you know, I just got to be honest.
All right.
Well, I was thinking confirm could be a good one. I'll confirm it. And then how many confirmations did you get? Well, that'd be a cool.
That's
cool.
You should have just shouted that out when Trump was on the phone before the show.
Yo, Trump, get better branding. Yeah. I heard a great meme. They were like, Trump should have called it Kafifi. Everyone would have wanted the Kafifi app. Like, I got to get it. It would have been Trump's. So you mentioned, you know, getting Truth Social. And I got to be honest, engagement is nuts.
Crazy.
People on Truth Social, because I was ragging on it a while ago because it was like locked up and nobody was using it. Trump wasn't even on it. Now it's flowing. I went and looked at it, and all of a sudden I have like all of these. I posted something nonsensical and I get all these crazy, you know, comments. And I start looking at other users and seeing this massive engagement that I didn't see before. So before the show, you mentioned, I'm like, I don't have an iPhone, and you were like, just pull it up on the browser. And I was like, you can do that now? Pulled up on the browser, and there it is. Now I can use it in my browser or whatever. So Truth Social actually has substantial engagement. I mean, you were mentioning you got how many followers?
600,000, and I'm not even
600,000 followers. And it was at the same time Elon Musk was announcing he was going to buy Twitter. Truth Social spikes in the App Store. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you this. This seems to be, it's almost like, I don't know, a snowball rolling down a hill. Something that's actually competing with these big tech Silicon Valley platforms. What I find interesting is the timing of Elon Musk wanting to come in and buy Twitter at a time when Truth Social is coming out and basically getting all of these Trump-supporting populist types to join the platform. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that could potentially stop that, it's Elon Musk coming in, pulling Twitter back. I wonder how much of this was Elon recognizing, he said it, that people are leaving to Truth Social because of the censorship. I wonder if he was like, I can make money if I stop that and bring these people back, you know?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen on that that Twitter deal. But, you know, I have to say as a disclosure, I'm a member of the board of directors for TMTG that owns Truth Social. So, no, they don't pay me. I just get to do more work for free. Yeah, but but basically, what – actually, I want to – while you have your picture up, Tim. So, Tim and I don't think that everybody knows this. We are having a Times Square billboard off.
Woo. Oh, yes.
I literally have a Plot Against the King billboard along with a COVID jab billboard right next to Tim's billboard. But it's mine's only 30 feet, not 70 feet. So you won this round. But we did it for the same reason. We wanted to go into the lion's den and be like, why can't we blast out? Last week we did a whole billboard on Russiagate and DurhamWatch.com. This week we're selling the book, The Plot Against the King. Why not? And it's like you said, absolutely. I don't know that's going to get much, you know, generate a lot of business. But the point is, we're there.
Oh, here's what I want to point out, too. When you look at this image, I want you all to understand, here's the billboard. Okay, and you may be wondering, Tim, okay, you got yourself a billboard, that's cool, but like, what's culture jamming about? It's like, it's just got a billboard, right? So I talked about how we never spent any money on marketing for this show until now.
That's right.
And we want to do culture jamming as marketing. Ladies and gentlemen, this is above the ABC News building. You can see right here, ABC News, ESPN, with all their fancy marketing and everything, and I am on top.
Dun, dun. Let's jam.
So many of these blue check journalists, most of them probably don't care. Some of them are probably fans. They're probably like, cool.
Yeah.
But some of these snooty people, these corporate press, these shills on these morning shows, they get to walk in the morning and look up at who's on top of their building. So it is a simple message to the elites that you are not the elites anymore. These people who think they're the best, they're the smartest, they're the strongest. No, 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 no. We are coming. We are asserting ourselves in this space. I was excited for this one. I didn't know it was going to go up so early. It was supposed to go up in 4 days, but they put it up early. So
it's good. And that's why we also like gave a nod to Truth Social on one of these billboards that we're doing last week or the next week. And I got to bring up how we brought the beginning of the show again. So, yes, I did agree. And I did ask President Trump to go on Tim Pool, TimCast, and he did say yes.
But he said it was the greatest show. Everyone agrees. At least that's what he was told.
I believe it. That's what I said. But there was, there was a bargain in place. I'm challenging the TimCasters to go out and buy as many copies of The Plot Against the King as they can, because if they push through, then I'm going to work my tail off to make sure that TimCast with Trump actually happens.
That was the quid pro quo.
Yeah. That's an actual quid pro quo. I'll advertise it as that. Hell yeah, man.
Where can people buy it?
Theplotagainstthekingcom. That's there you go. Yeah,
nice.
Very easy.
It's Russiagate for kids.
It's Russiagate for kids. How can you not want to read this story? Adults should read this story. It's super fun. There's pictures. I can read it. Yeah. It's at my level.
I got through the first page already. I liked it.
When you were talking to Trump, I could sort of hear some of it. And I'm like, it has to be fake because it was so perfectly Trump.
Oh, man.
It's like, it sounds like a recording of him, you know, like Cash comes in here and he presses play on a video, like I'm talking to Trump. I swear.
Do it now.
I can get him on your show. Just sell books for me. And then it's like, just it's a video of
that's
Trump
a quid pro quo. Hey, I got to make up for 16 years of being poor in government and educating children.
I remember regarding Truth, it had a rocky start because they used Mastodon code, but it's what they had to. It was a free software license code. Mm. I don't know what they use exactly what the licensing code was, but it was they were supposed to show the software code because they were reusing it as per the code, and they didn't. And that really bothered me and set me off. But the upside is it's using Mastodon code, which means we can federate the thing and create interoperability between networks. So, like, if you're logged into Minds or Truth Social or Twitter, if we can get a hold of Twitter's software licensing codes, you'll be able to message someone on Truth Social from your Twitter account and vice versa and create, like, a network of networks. Mm-hmm. I think Truth will be a great part of that.
Is this tie into graphene?
I'm into that. I have some right here. Would you like to tie it into graphene? I think we're starting to see graphene wiring.
So everybody's been ragging on Ian because they're saying Borafine is the future and he's living 20 years in the past.
It's fiend. It's the structure that's important, not necessarily the carbon itself, although carbon's pretty cool because if you have this hexagonal lattice structure, nanostructure of like a monoatomic layer of chemicals, apparently boron's equally as cool as
carbon.
What
do you use that for?
So, dude, touchscreen wallpaper. You can make clothing that's touchscreen, super capacitor battery. Your clothing can be batteries.
You're like,
if we can get
future.
Donald, I think Donald can run on this stuff because this is going to be the industry of the 21st century. It's going to be the new steel. People are going to be making buildings out of it, wiring out of it, touchscreen, all of this. And if he can bring enough scientists around to create the greatest graphene, like if we can make the greatest graphene production facility on Earth in the United States.
I have an idea. Why don't we get, when Donald Trump, Devin Nunes, and myself do a TimCast live from one of his properties, we have it sponsored by Graphene, and we put it on Truth Social, and then everybody wins.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll find a company that makes it.
Yeah, actually, we need to start something in the United States that builds it.
You know, check this out. I bought stock. I bought stock in a company that makes graphene because Ian wouldn't shut up about it, and it's like one of my only stocks that's still up despite like the marketing.
It's 2029. We're going to see peak implementation of this stuff. You're going to start. But the problem is the copper industry. It doesn't want to lose their wiring
big
monopoly.
Copper.
So that's going to be a challenge to disrupt the copper industry, but we'll be able to repurpose the copper, I think. You can deposit carbon dioxide, I believe, onto copper and create graphene out of it. You can actually pull carbon dioxide out of the air and turn it into graphene.
You know, it'd be
this
funny.
This guy's like dialed in.
He is. Yeah. You know, it'd be really funny. It's like we do a show with Trump and then Ian starts going off on graphene and then Trump just gets zoned in and he's like, tell me more. And then just like all of a sudden Trump's doing pressers, he's speaking and he's running for office and he's just all about graphene. The future, the new manufacturing, the new steel, we're going to bring all these jobs. Ian is sitting there, you know, just he retires because he knows he's done everything everything he needs to do. It's nothing
we'll
left.
Be able to pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere to kind of balance out the carbon emission type thing. But we're going to have to be careful that we don't pull too much out too fast and set up an industry that sucks it all out because we'll begin competing with trees.
We are going to name you the ambassador for graphene.
Let's How's do that? It, baby. We can help a lot of
we're
people.
We're a graphene czar if you prefer.
We can build a space elevator.
It's better than the disinformation czar.
Just call me Ian. 2024. The votes come in. Ian gets on the phone and says, I want that position as graphene czar, I was promised.
Yeah.
Give me the graphene.
I just want to go to space.
Graphene ballots.
Graphene ballots.
Dude, we can build watermarks.
Well, so the original idea was like, what I wanted to bring up with Truth Social was that it's allowing people to maintain their conversations. Mm. Twitter was trying to silence people. YouTube's trying to silence people. They're trying to control the narrative to a degree where I was talking to this guy. I think we're planning on having him on the show. His name is Mike Benz.
Yeah.
And he was explaining how the goal of like national security officers and things like this and big tech is to censor just enough so you can make your opponents politically ineffective but not silenced, because they know that if you censor people, you get a backlash. So they want just a little bit, just enough to where they get a head start in the race. Truth Social is basically cutting that off. People are able to go back on and follow Trump once again. And people are posting and sharing what he says. And I'm seeing journalists. When Trump retruthed the words civil war, mainstream press was forced to talk about it. And that puts Truth Social front and center. And the more he does that, the more they're forced to talk about it.
And that's why he's never going back to Twitter. I mean, that and the fact that he owns the company. But people keep asking me that. And I'm like, no, he's not going back on any other platform. He doesn't want back on YouTube or Twitter. Or I don't even know what the other ones are called. But this is going to be it. It's either, you know, and I think it's going to succeed. And if you look at the bots, we were talking about this, Ian and I, before, right? What Elon has done is basically proven the concept that Devin and I proved on the side of Russiagate. Is Twitter suppressing free speech and are there bots? The answer to both of those questions was affirmative, for sure. Elon has finally put those facts out for the mainstream media and forced them to take them on. Up to 50% bots, that's a lot. And also the freedom of speech suppression. We can't get that kind of campaign out. But he's proven that, and now they have to address it. Now they hate him for it, and now the fact that he said he's voting Republican, I think they're going to come after him pretty hard. But if you can build a company on Truth Social that has 15 million, 20 million people, by the end of the year or something like that, that's a company that's legit half as big as Twitter.
How many users do you know? How many users on Truth
Social? I know that I think President Trump has like 4 million
or
something like that. So just do some math. Maybe there's 4 to 7 on there right now.
I bet everybody's following Trump.
Yeah.
So he's got 3.1 million followers.
Okay. And then Android's coming in.
But the engagement is massive.
No, it's massive.
Take a look at the New York Times on Twitter. Nobody retweets.
Mm, yeah.
So I can certainly say, like, I never tweet at the New York Times. There's no conversation there. So when people are like, no one's responding to them, I'm like, yeah, who cares? But nobody's even retweeting their stories. Because I do retweet stories. When I see a big story, I'll be like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
I basically retweet so that I can come back later and look through the stories that I was seeing. But people don't even do that for the New York Times.
I just put out a truth on the car ride over here for my handle at Cash for your. I was saying I was coming on TimCast. Thousands of people in the car ride on the way over were responding to that, like physically writing and responding and retruthing and reposting that I was doing the show. And there was conversations on both sides. Oh, I hate you, Cash. I love Tim. I hate Tim. Actually, Cash sucks. And so that's what you want. That's the whole point. Yeah. And it's human beings engaging. And it's fun. And the funnest part is these things called pinata farms. I don't know if you guys have seen these, but they take real live movies and they stick your heads on them. So there's one of like me and Trump perp walking Hillary Clinton out of a detention center.
And it's just built into the platform?
Well, this company has just built it into this thing and it's all over the place and it's for anything and everything. It's hilarious.
It's like the beginning of deep fakes. People are going to.
But you can tell. It's like a joke. Yeah, it's like an oversized head. On like a smaller box.
Oh, okay. Truth Social like
Jib-Jab.
Is like
Jib Jab, yeah.
Yeah.
Or the Reface app.
Yeah.
Called Fifi is trending.
Of course.
You know, I just think truth is the perfect, like, it's so Trumpian, calling it truth.
Yeah, truth is subjective. Like, what one person believes is true, another person might see differently and think that it's not true, but we're both looking at the same thing.
Well, it's kind of an evolution too. We have the fake news, and now we have truth. It's like dark to light. It's the yin and the yang.
I love that how they tried using fake news against Trump, and then Trump turned it around against them. And
it was brilliant.
You are fake news.
Yeah, it was part of the counter intel operation we ran for the last 5 years. I wanted Joe Biden to go and spend $500,000 coming up with Ultra MAGA. Then I was gonna have President Trump release my book on Truth Social, The Plot Against the King, the very next day. And we've had the most successful book launch
They did the Ultra MAGA thing.
It's just
they said that the data shows. Middle America, like suburban, you know, people don't like MAGA, and so that's why they're going for it. But what they never understood, it just shows they never understood the MAGA people, the Trump supporters, the right. Trump got memed into office. People were posting jokes. They were having a laugh, having a good time. The picture, you ever see that picture where Trump is on a tank? It's like a golden tank or something. He's like standing, he's like an eagle flying. It's all funny. It's just like supposed to be crazy. Or Trump's face as Rocky Balboa, like ripped body and everything. And they think it's real. They're like, these Trump people are in a cult. No, they're joking.
I was picturing him coming out on stage, Donald, and being like, Ultra MAGA! And then, like, the fireworks shoot out behind him. But people would love it. But then I think the media, like, Rachel Maddow would get afraid. Because they'd be like, oh, it's Ultra MAGA is real. Like, I don't know, because I want to have fun with it. It's hilarious.
The Ultra MAGA king.
Hey, you know why I don't read the New York Times and why I don't repost New York Times is because I got to pay money to read their articles. Whenever I go to a New York Times article, I can't get past the first paragraph, so I just give up on it and move on.
I don't read it because I'm suing them for defamation.
Oh, good.
But yeah.
What did they say?
Them, Politico, and CNN called me Trump's Ukraine whisperer and injected me into an impeachment fiasco.
God.
And I said, okay, what's that based on? Like, was there a meeting? Do you have a witness? And if you remember that clown Fiona Hill came in and said, oh, Cash Patel, Ukraine whisperer. And then under oath in front of the world during the impeachment trial, Fiona Hill goes, well, I've never met Cash. Ugh. We've never spoken. And I don't really know him. Well, then how am I the guy? So I'm suing them all. That's what Fight with Cash is all about. Like, that's my attempt to fix the media. Is we're raising money. We're actually suing on behalf of other American citizens who've been defamed. We cut the check for their lawyers.
We've just been talking about this all week. Like, we need to take cases that may not win just because it's the right thing to do.
You got to sue Wikipedia.
No, I'm on it. We talked about this. And
you are.
It's the next one.
Oh, okay.
My.
So, have you heard what I was saying about it?
Mm-hmm.
In the past few episodes, specifically?
No, I remember our conversation about it.
So I was talking to a lawyer recently. And they were like, you can't sue Wikipedia. They're protected by Section 230. You can maybe sue the editors who made the statements. And I'm like, let's think about this for a second. Wikipedia, actually, do I have this? I have National Firearms Act pulled up. We'll just use this as an example. It says, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. That's a byline. They've asserted it is from them and no one else.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about how Wikipedia works. If you write on Wikipedia, Cash Patel is a lawyer. That's true, right? Mm-hmm. Or was a lawyer?
I guess still technically, but haven't done anything with it.
Is a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's a fact statement. What if someone then goes in and edits and changes lawyer to dog kicker? Mm-hmm. No one called you a dog kicker. The person who wrote the first sentence called you a lawyer, so you can't sue him. Mm-hmm. The person who wrote the single hyphenated word dog kicker never said Cash Patel is. He just wrote one word. Well, you can't sue him, can you? He didn't say anything. The first guy didn't say anything. And Wikipedia asserts protection under Section 230. That can't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And that's why – so that's literally what FightWithCash.com is doing. I have a Wikipedia page that is literally 50% false. And so my lawyers got together and were like, no, we can actually take them on. And they found a way to do this. And once we go public, I'll tell you how we're going to do it. But the whole point is not for me to start suing. The whole point is to get everybody else to start suing. And we've created lawsuits for other Americans who have been defamed by crazy outlets, things like Wikipedia and whatnot. And we're just going to keep hammering it. That's the whole point. And that's my attempt to fix the media. I don't know if it's going to work.
Is it like class action suits or is it an actual bunch of different individuals?
Every individual. Anywhere can go to the website and literally be like, here's my case summary. We'll look at it for free. If there's a cause of action, we're going to march into court and give you a check.
So they go to fightwithcash.com mm-hmm. and then sign up to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost them anything. I mean, if they know rich donors, we always take those. But I personally review every single message that comes in.
Is it a 501c3?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You know what I'm mostly mad about is that Wikipedia for a long time claimed I invented a live streaming Zeppelin.
That would be cool.
Which I didn't do. And when I went there and wrote, hey, this is not true, like remove this, they said, you cannot be a source to this article because you are Tim Pool and you are biased. So we're leaving in that you invented a Zeppelin. And I got mad. After a few years, they got rid of it. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And so then we built a live streaming Zeppelin, put it up in the air with a Let's Go Brandon flag on it. And then I said, you know, I didn't go to Wikipedia, but I say to the world, okay, now that it's true, put it back. I have retroactively made that true, and they won't do it.
Really?
Yeah, they won't put it back. It's like locked.
Art imitates life.
Well, I don't know where the original source that – it's like it's funny that it can sit there for years, and now I actually did it, and we flew this. We got like a ton of views when we did it too, so it was like, you know, hundreds of thousands of people saw it. Come on, we did it. Take the video, use it as a source, and say Tim did make a live streaming Zeppelin. Come on. I don't like Wikipedia. I used to be a big fan.
I hate them.
I like the concept. Yeah. It just doesn't – it's too like easy to game, it feels like right now. It's too easy.
It's a ton of fake news.
I tried to explain Hillary's emails, for instance, on Wikipedia. I was like, I'll make an edit so that I can tell people about Sydney's, you know, Osprey Global Solutions. And after I did it, within like 8 seconds, it was removed. Oh. I was like, well, but that was true information, and now it was removed.
It's because
who controls content on Wikipedia? Aren't there only a handful of editors on any page?
Anybody can edit, but you can earn privileges, so some people have more power than others. When you go to high-profile accounts, there's going to be a firm that has editor access that's going to control.
So what do you got to do to earn that access?
Lie a lot.
Yeah. It's probably – I don't know how Wikipedia works with it. I think it's like a certain amount of time and edits made earns you more and more status or whatever.
Mm.
Yep, a lot of fake news, a lot of lies, and it's because the people who dedicate their time to that, for the most part, there's some good editors and there are a lot of bad editors, and it is companies that are paid, and there's going to be a tendency towards establishment if that's the case. Let's go to Super Chats! My friends, if you have not already, would you kindly smash the like button, subscribe to this channel, share the video with all of your friends, and head over to TimCast.com, become a member. We're going to have a members-only show coming up at 11 p.m. or so. Let's read what we got here. Woot Doo For You says each of the cops should be charged with malice murder of a minor. AC Yor says this is murder. Wow. Roberto Lara says the police and politicians keep proving Michael Malice right.
Huh. Wow. That one's brutal.
Yeah, Michael Malice's quote, I'm not going to get it right, but he basically said, what is it? Can you say it? Do you know it?
I don't know right offhand.
It's like there is no law so obscene that a police officer would not enforce it up and including executing children or something like that.
Yeah.
Up to and including, yeah. I like the way they phrase that.
It's bad. Well, yeah, true.
Right, just following orders. Mm-hmm. Like at some point, the cops you would think would be like, this is just wrong. This is wrong. We need to disobey these orders and go in there and seize. I mean, if it was war, they would.
They went in for their kids. They're like, I don't care what my orders are. My kid's in there. Yeah. All right, Murph Tries says, Cash, are you still going to be doing Flannel Friday during the summer months?
So you know what that's from, right? This is hilarious.
No,
on Truth Social, there's a Q account. Whether or not it's the real Q, I'm not going to get into. But me and said person were running around South Florida, and we took a picture of my sleeve and a beer in front of it, and we posted a truth that said, "Having at Cash, having a beer with Q." And it turned into Flannel Fridays because I was having this beer and I was wearing a flannel shirt. And now it's this massive thing online. Now the memes have gotten out of control. But, yeah, we can do Flannel Fridays for you.
Memes are good.
Yeah.
Flannel's nice.
It's comfy.
Yeah.
Need a Wonder Friday.
James296 says, just a correction for yesterday's video. Red velvet does not have a specific flavor, but it is a process to make a cake have velvet texture upon eating.
Nice.
The red is just the food coloring.
Awesome.
Huh.
So nobody knows. It's vanilla and chocolate or...
Well, if it is the texture, then putting it into an ice cream would completely remove the whole component of the cake.
Oh, good point. Weird.
I need to look into this.
I just don't like they put all that food color
in
it. Yes,
it's gross.
Why don't we call it blue velvet?
Yeah, you got to use like beet juice or something to make it red.
Yeah, that'd be better.
Yeah, yeah.
Beet juice is sweet too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Russell Smedjkal says, hey, Donald Trump, thanks for watching. Hope to see you.
Thanks, Tom.
That's right. I'm sure totally Trump is watching right now. Yeah. Now, he's probably watching Tucker or something. Is Tucker on right now?
9 o'clock, Sean. Yeah. Hannity.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, no. All right. Corey Cole says, in the case of civil war, how do you think we would be mobilized? Would some sort of conservative leader arise, or would we just be fighting against a sort of government campaign to take rural areas? Curious your thoughts. I think the structure of this country makes it so that it's very much going to be likely be as the first civil war was, states just being like yes or no. But if you look at any other civil war, it's just disparate factions fighting in the streets. It'll be you and your house when all of a sudden someone shows up and you're like, I don't know who that is. And maybe it'll be like you'll see an Antifa flag or something or a variety of leftist flags. And you might just be like, okay, they're not my friends. Uh-huh. Yeah. No idea. We mentioned how Robert Reich said that the states, there's going to be a peaceful divorce effectively because of abortion issues. And I'm like, yeah, that is what starts civil war. When a bunch of states are like, we're going to go our own way. And then one group says, but we get those weapons. The other side says, no, you don't. And then they fight for them and then fight for everything. That's how it happens, man. Placid Saint says the shooter had a $2,000 rifle with a $700 EOTech optic. Daniel Defense rifles and parts are top tier gear stuff that I use for my Gucci SBR rifle. Where did this kid get all that money from?
Yeah.
Somebody hooked him up.
He said they used to bully him for his family being poor, and then he has this ridiculous equipment. I don't know. Really weird.
Somebody hooked him up. That's creepy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
J.K. Ermit Riley says, Tim, to be fair, there is a good reason to prevent emotionally armed people from storming a school with innocence. Crossfire-friendly fire. J. Kermit. It's a good point. I agree with that. You know.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
But why didn't the police go in?
But that's yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the argument. If she was able to go in, why didn't the police themselves just go in and do what they needed to do to handle business?
Regarding where that kid got his weaponry, last night I was thinking about false flags and getting countries to go to war for something that didn't actually happen. Not that that shooting was a false flag, but that we should be on guard for something like that in the coming years. Because if they really want to mobilize us into some European conflict or Taiwanese conflict or whatever, and you see the amount, like the Gulf of Tonkin, for instance, the amount of destruction that people are willing to wreak in order to get people to support a war. More destruction. So be on guard for that kind of thing and don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah, Russia and China are masters at it. They do this all the time, PSYOPs, all day long. And if you don't look out for them, which has to be a priority of an administration to catch and suss through that, then we're going to be more vulnerable.
All right, man. Let's read some more. Bobcat says, would you kindly tell us who is John Galt? Also, AI doesn't really exist. All we have are long lists of if-else statements. To be AI, it has to understand the concept of maybe. How do you make maybe?
Quantum computing, when it can be a one and a zero at the same moment.
Interesting. Oof. Sanity Clause says, stop sending your children to these indoctrination camps. No more school shootings, no more indoctrination. It's a twofer. Forget defund the police, defund public schools. Mm-hmm. So on like 2 a.m. on the 25th, I tweeted homeschool your kids, which was not a reference to anything at all. It was just like, homeschool your kids, because I've tweeted it before. I say it on the show. The Independent took that and said it was an argument to stop school shootings. And I was like, I never said anything about school shootings. That's why I said homeschool your kids.
Civil War.
Yeah. I posted there's a story about a Norwegian guy who took a bow and arrow and started shooting people with it. So I posted the story, just a screenshot of it. I said nothing. I made no argument. And people were like, this argument is dumb, Tim. What you don't understand is, and I was like, bro, I didn't make an argument. I just posted a news story, man. Calm down. People are crazy. They people are live in this bubble world. Mm-hmm. And this is literally the meme where it's like, you can say on Twitter, I like pancakes. And they'll be like, why do you hate waffles? And you're like, I didn't say anything about waffles, man. I like waffles too. Jude, calm down. All right. Gavin Deeth says, kindergarten cop reboot. Liberal teacher pew-pews little Timmy for anti-trans statement. Oh, yikes. Some people, I don't know if giving teachers guns to try and solve the problem solves the problem. But I think people should have guns, which would mean teachers would have guns.
Yeah, I thought, Adrian, you made a good point that if they want to and they're trained in it, then they probably should have access to it.
I mean, are you making the argument that the situation this week wouldn't have turned out differently had that teacher in that room been armed?
No, I'm saying as a direct solution, like walking up to a teacher and being like, here's a gun, like, get ready to use it. I don't think is a solution, I think.
But if a teacher has a background and they go through training and they say, I would like to carry, and there is a student who comes in with a weapon and attempts a mass shooting in that teacher's classroom.
No, I agree with you.
Are they going to be better or worse off if the teacher's armed?
They're going to be better off with the teacher armed. What I'm saying is, to approach the situation right now, like, look at this problem we're facing, the solution is give a teacher a gun. I'm like, no. The solution to the problem is figuring out our cultural issues. Teachers should be armed, and it would end these situations. But you still have the problem of someone storming into a school with a weapon.
Yeah, it wouldn't stop them from happening. It might be able to stop them from resolving the way that it did.
Yeah.
But two things can be true at the same time, though.
I think it could deter certain actions, but I think there's also adaptivity. You'll just get someone who will conceal their actions or target teachers first. I think teachers should be armed. I think regular people should be armed. I think the two-way exists for a reason. I think the solution is cultural.
Yeah.
I think if teachers are armed, they're better off. I think the solution is some kind of cultural assessment. Like we mentioned, drugs and social media addictions and manipulation. I think mostly the drugs, to be honest. I think that stuff's warping kids' minds. That and weird groomers on the internet, that's true too. All right, Matthew Reckamp says, to quote Steven Crowder, what do you think would be more effective at stopping a school shooter? A sign with a picture of a gun with a line over it, or a turret?
A turret.
Well, hold on.
Definitely.
In some circumstances, you could beat the guy with the sign.
Yeah, too. All right. Good point. Yeah.
That's actually you can't do those kind of jokes on YouTube. Mm. But I think, I'm into the dark comedy where it's like
racist.
Okay. No. Just like stopping a school shooting by someone taking a gun-free zone sign and beating the perpetrator with it to stop him. It's funny. Like, what do I do? And it's like, this will work.
You just got turned into a cartoon. That'll be totally acceptable.
Yeah, Seamus.
Yeah.
I don't know if Seamus want to do that. That one's a little too dark. All right. Dakota Dad says, you're going to need an army to stop me from getting my kids. I will stop at absolutely nothing run through. I don't care who to make. I don't care who to make sure they're okay.
That's right.
You see that video of the guy running into the burning building to save his dog?
Yeah.
No. This is crazy. The fire's in. Have you guys ever been next to a burning building?
It's insane.
No, actually.
It's hot.
It's hot. And that's an understatement. People don't get this. Yeah. Because you see a fire, you've maybe been around a campfire, and you're thinking like, oh, okay. You can't. So when I was in Ferguson, and they burned all those buildings on West Florissant, driving in the car with the air on and everything, when you drive past these buildings that are maybe even 50 to 100 feet away, it feels like there's a campfire right in front of your face. That's the heat is so intense. Mm-hmm. So when you walk up, it's unbearable to even walk up to the building. This dude runs in to get his dog. And the firefighters are like, dude, what? He comes out. His legs are like burned up.
Love it.
Yeah, he's not going to leave his dog in there, man. Now imagine what's going to be like if your kids are in a building with the shooter. This dad got tasered. Dude.
Worth it.
Crazy, man. All right, Salty Duckling says, Cash, since you got 45's number, please push him to abolish the ATF when he wins in 24.
It's a thought. We'll think about it. It's just another federal agency doing work that other federal agencies already do. It's an overcorrection.
I made a tweet, and I trolled mostly conservatives. And it was funny. The gun people liked it. I said, let me just see. I'll just read what I said. I said, did you know the National Firearms Act codified a path to owning silencers and automatic rifles?
What?
Repeal the NFA now. Spineless GOP won't do it. Call your member of Congress and tell them repeal the NFA now.
Is that true?
And a whole, all of that is true.
Amazing.
Spineless GOP won't repeal the NFA.
That's true.
That's true. It did codify a path to owning silencers and automatic rifles, restricting access to them, but still codifying a path to get it. And like, it was funny because the gun people, my favorite response was, dude, if this works, like all the liberals being like, yeah, repeal the NFA. But a bunch of conservatives were like, you're wrong on this one, Tim. Also, it's not called a silencer, it's a suppressor. And I'm just like,
You're missing everything.
Right over their heads. Let's read some more super chats.
They got your back.
All right, let's grab some more. Andy Welsh says, check out the magic card for Oubliette. It's perfect. Is that how you pronounce it? Was it?
Yeah, Oubliette.
Oubliette.
MTG.
It's a dungeon.
It's like a skeleton.
What does it
cage.
Do? Remove a creature from the game?
From the game until the Oubliette's removed from play, I believe. Okay. It's an old card from Arabian Nights. Let me see if I can pull it up. Yeah, I believe it's
They've remade that card so many times.
When Oubliette enters the battlefield, target creature phases out until Oubliette leaves the battlefield.
Oh, Ian, I got to tell you a funny story. So this guy, I was tweeting, right? And this guy's tweeting at me, like telling me I'm wrong and all this stuff about politics. And then it turns out in his profile, he plays Magic. So I tweeted at him, my Kiki Jiki deck would obliterate you. And he said, doubt? Can you believe it?
That's love.
Doubt?
No way. Kiki Jiki deck would obliterate you. It's not your fault. The deck is OP. It's busted.
Like 99% of people are like, we have no idea what they just said.
Yeah,
we're talking about a strategy card game.
Get familiar.
And I'm making a joke. There you go. Let's read some more super chats.
It was funny because it was true.
It's funny because someone thought they could beat my commander deck.
No, it was pretty mad.
Never going to happen. Yeah. It is a crazy deck. All right. Kalashnikov. What is that?
Nice.
Kalashnikov. I'm a God-fearing conservative, but if you gave me a thin blue line flag and a pride flag, a box of matches and a cup of gasoline, the thin blue line is getting torched first.
Huh.
Whoa.
Mood.
First, though, remember that video where they were throwing the flag on the ground and stomping on it? People are not happy, man. All right. Ben Hickson says, if Americans give up their guns, then they will have unarmed protesters being shot with rubber bullets by a war memorial after being in lockdown for over 200 days. Watch Battleground Melbourne on YouTube for the recount.
Wow. Why?
So I tweeted, I'm going to buy more guns. And then someone responded, they were like, as an Australian, I'm curious, why do you need more guns? And someone responded, so that we don't get sent to quarantine camps when we get a sickness with a 99.8% survival rate or something like that. And then people started quoting it and posting it. William Andrews says, live in Maryland with my anti-gun wife who found my rifle and armor. I said, if bad guys have this, then I will too. Think of our kids. Went pretty well.
That's fair.
Nice.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah. John Esch says, my sister is a socialist and she's arguing with me about guns and taxes. I'm a libertarian believing in individual responsibility and personal responsibility. Please say why gun laws don't work. So most of the leftists, including socialists, are pro-gun. There is the Socialist Rifle Association is a leftist pro-gun organization. If you are claiming to be a leftist and you are anti-gun, you are not a leftist because Karl Marx said, under no pretext.
That's right.
Should the workers surrender arms and ammunition, all efforts should be, I'm paraphrasing next, I don't know full quote, should be frustrated by force if necessary. That's Karl Marx. I agree.
Fully agree.
Do not give up your weapons. So you should definitely look into that quote from Karl Marx because he said it outright. Gun laws don't work for several reasons. In Maryland, they've banned the M1A, for instance. They have not banned the SCAR 20S. Okay, the Star 20S is a modern 308, and the M1A is a much older model. It's like, it makes no sense why they would do that. When people come out and say things like ban the AR-15, it's like, okay, well, have you ever watched Slugfest KSG-25 with mini shells or whatever, and they have like 41 shells in this pump action shotgun? These people don't know what they're talking about. You'd have to outright ban all guns, and then you have to contend with 3D printed guns, which can be fully plastic except for the firing pin. And I'm probably wrong about that too, because they've probably got advancements at this point that I don't even know about. Mm-hmm. So people can buy a 3D printer for $300, buy some materials, and just print a gun.
Yeah.
What are you going to ban? It's not working. Guns exist. In the Netherlands, in Europe, they have a 3D printed gun issue where people are just printing them. Good luck. They got a grenade problem in Sweden. From the I can't remember. There was a, what was it? The Balkan, the, I don't know. They have grenades.
Right.
It was like an organization?
No, no, no. There was
a war.
Yeah, it was the Balkan Wars or whatever.
Eastern European
Something
war.
Like that. There's, yeah. there's grenades all over the okay. place. Those are illegal. Murder is illegal.
Yeah.
People still doing it.
That's crazy.
Criminals don't respect the law.
That's also crazy.
Why? That's wrong. They should, they should make it illegal.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
They should make murder illegal. Maybe that'll stop it.
Being criminal illegal.
All right. The Great Treasures says, longtime listener, first time caller. When you get President Trump on, you should definitely record the entire show for your website. So when YouTube inevitably deletes it, we can still see it. We love you in Wisconsin. That is the plan as always. And, I don't know. Maybe we do it on Rumble or something.
Yeah, probably. That'll
if YouTube does not want our business, I respect their decision. And it'll be our biggest show ever. But if YouTube wants to say to us, like, look, if YouTube comes to me and says, look, we don't want you to interview Trump and have a massive show, then I'll say, hey, no problem, guys. We'll do it on Rumble. That's cool. That's why it's so important to have these alternatives. That's why we use Rumble infrastructure for our website, so that we can make sure YouTube knows, hey, no problem, no beef. We'll go use the other platform where they'll get all the traffic and the views and make all the money. That's cool.
You're lost.
You guys, if you don't want to be culturally relevant, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Charles Kinsey says, hey, Tim, how do you feel about making a commercial with veterans and ex-cops asking the parents to let us protect our children and precious resource? I don't know. I guess I feel neutrally about it. I'm not sure what the intent is or, you know, sounds cool. Maybe. Carl Ashby says, Tim, check out the shooting in Charleston, West Virginia last night. Armed partygoer shoots and kills active shooter. No one else harmed. Wow. Mm. In Charleston? That's not that far away. It's decently far away from us, but, you know, relatively close. Crazy. Did you look it up?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I haven't seen anything yet.
This is why you don't mess around in West Virginia. It's a constitutional carry state, which the crazy thing is Texas is now, too, but maybe Texas hasn't been constitutional carry long enough.
Looks like shooting victim pulled an assault rifle at a party, and that
an
one
assault,
is...
Whoa.
That's what it says from MSN.com. Yeah, it's... What is that? Assault rifle? What it is means, it, a 50 BMG at a party?
I don't think so. He could have an M16, you know, an NFA select fire rifle.
That was the headline, the vague headline. And then one has been detained from that. Woman stops gunman at party. So maybe it's a girl.
Brad Matuszak. Matuszak says, can you get Steve Kerr on and dunk on him, please? Steve, you recently came out and said you want the Congress to pass H.R. 8 to create background checks. We already have background checks, dude.
Have you bought it?
So unless you are talking about reforming like Cash did, just being like, why don't they pass background checks? Because we already did. Oh, it's so frustrating. Every time I go and I got to fill out that stupid form.
It's a pain.
Because these people have no idea what they're talking about. I love it. When I went to the March for Our Lives, there were people saying things like ban fully automatic weapons. And I was like, so I would ask them, I'm like, so you do know that for the most part, they have been. Like, you can't get a new one and you need special privileges. I'm like, oh, really? And I'm like, do you know what you're protesting?
No.
I met one guy who knew what he was protesting. And we had a good conversation about it. I was like, oh, okay, well, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's got bad opinions. I don't know. I don't like his opinions. He's got them, but at least he was informed. But almost all of them were saying, holding up signs that were like meaningless.
Where?
They're like, we want background checks now. And I'm like, ugh.
Well, then they talk about the gun show loophole, but I'm like, have you ever been to a gun show and tried to get a firearm? Like every seller has a little kiosk set up where they still run you through the next system even at a gun show.
Yep. It's a loophole. What they're talking about is that in West Virginia, you can sell to a family member, and that you assume responsibility if they have certain issues, or you assume liability. So if, you know, Cletus wants to sell a rifle to Billy Joe up in the mountains in, you know, 5 hours from civilization because there's a bear problem or something. No. They've got to drive to an FFL in a major city and then do the transfer there. So that's what they're talking about. I don't think that's what they're talking about. That's not a good faith argument. That makes no sense. They just don't know that we already have the NICS system. There you go. American Gun Chick says, Cash's solution of using social media posts to determine someone's eligibility for their Second Amendment rights sounds like the start to a social credit score. That's a hard no for me, dog.
I guess you're not buying a book.
She should buy the book
anyway.
They didn't
say that. The plot against the king. Yeah, I'm kind of with that person. That was what I was just thinking about is pre-thought, pre-crime, that whole thing of like, did you think a violent thought when you were 9? Well, let's check the records of the neural net. Yes, you're no longer access to stepping outside on Thursdays. Like, Come on. I mean,
then you're going to get some like creepy old guy who's going to be like, do you hear that? Yeah. I do not hear the pitter-patter of little feet.
No.
Because
no.
The precogs can't see a thing. You know that, you know.
No. Minority yeah. Report. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that movie.
It's cool. But yeah, that reform, you know, has to happen on both sides in order to work. Not just on the screener side, but the people implementing it in the government side have to be trained on how to do that the right way and not put Tim Pool on a waiting list because he's Tim Pool.
In that movie Minority Report, I like the idea of pre-crime. I don't like how they executed it. If somebody was going to commit a murder in that movie, you get life in prison, basically. They put you in this thing and they put you in a tube or whatever. It's like, dude, if someone's going to commit a crime, you stop it and then say, we can tell if you're going to do it again. And then they won't. In the movie, most of it was passion. People losing their cool, and there was almost no premeditated murder because they had precogs, psychics who could basically see if you were going to commit a murder. But then they would come in and like tag you and then drag you away and be like, you're done, even if you didn't commit a crime. It's like, if you can dispatch a crew to stop the murder from happening, congratulations. Now it's like, it was a passion murder. We can, don't do it. And if the person is going to do it again, you can see it and you can prevent it. So like, anyway, good movie though. Good movie. Let's grab some more super chats. Vic says, not many people talk about the specificity of the profile of a school shooter. Absent father, childhood trauma, social isolation, and pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's conversation number one.
Fatherlessness.
Matt Walsh had a whole thread about it.
Yeah.
Fatherlessness?
Well, just the profile of a school shooter. I think he was pretty much on target.
Wow. It seems to be the case, huh? Yeah.
So Matt Walsh interviewed David Hogg? Did you say Matt Walsh interviewed him?
Did I say Matt Walsh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean Matt Walsh. I meant the other guy.
Because in a video you said Matt Walsh, he's a corporate shill. And someone was like, why is Tim calling Matt Walsh a corporate shill?
Oh, yeah, everyone was confused.
Oh, man, I am so sorry, right? Matt. I did not mean that about you. I was talking about the other guy. What's his name? I can't remember.
I want to see the interview.
Why did I say Matt Walsh? Matt, I'm sorry, dude. I'm so sorry. I did not mean that.
Matt Walsh, you corporate jest kidding.
No, it's that other guy who was a Republican but then hated Donald Trump.
Matt something?
I don't know. Maybe I said Matt Walsh. And it was
Joe Walsh?
Joe
Walsh. Not from the Eagles.
Oh, no. Matt, I owe you a beer.
Let's
or
fly
something.
Him out. Yeah. Matt, you got to come on the show.
Yeah, you
we'll fly
Matt.
Out.
Going back to Nashville.
I said that here, too. Nobody corrected me.
Well, I thought it was real, but I'm glad I brought it up.
No, if you were like, oh, Matt Walsh. And I was like, wait.
I guess Matt did. I looked it up, too, and I was like, what?
I just, you know what it is? It's that Matt Walsh is so much more relevant than Joe is.
I know, right? I was like, there's another Walsh.
I just couldn't think of a guy who didn't matter. No, I sincerely apologize for saying that, man. I did not mean that. I got to put a correction on that video. I did not mean that.
Boo.
Got to figure out which one that was. All right. Coldilocks Production says, Tim, if you want a gun law expert on, talk to the armed scholar who is educated in laws and discusses laws and lawsuits around gun rights. He'd love to come on the show. Well, let's take a look into him. We will write down his name, Armed Scholar.
Got it.
We're going to have to fly out MASH.
Yeah.
Now I call them MASH.
Talking. Now we're just making up names.
I must be too tired. Now it's because I'm mixing Matt with Cash. And
it's
now
it's all
I'm
going sideways.
MASH Walt.
I pulled a Biden.
Game over.
You did it.
Pulled a Biden.
You'll be the next president.
You know, next time Biden gaffes, I'm going to have to be like, well, it happens to the best of us.
Love you, Joe.
Joe Biden. Or Joe Walsh.
Oh, yeah, both.
All right, why is this YouTube freezing on me? Ben Sprink says, the force of law cannot be used on a citizen unless they do something illegal. This has to change for a mentally ill person. When it is known that a person is mentally ill, they should be separated from society and given help. Gun laws are useless. Yeah, but define mentally ill and what kind of mentally ill? That's tough, man. Right?
Yeah.
Everyone's saying, Tim is Joe Biden. I admit it. I can never criticize the man again. Next time he says something like Trinidad a Shabbat of pressure, I'm just going to be like, well, you know.
Matt Walsh was right.
Matt Walsh. All right. What is this? Iggy the Incubus says, Tim and crew, what advice do you have for smaller creators who have an interest in discussing these topics so that we can make more avenues and wheelhouses for honest, good faith discussions? Use Rumble.
Yeah, new networks.
And Truth Social.
And Truth.
You get in early on these new networks and you can meet a lot of cool people fast.
Truth Social is powered by Rumble.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep. There you go. There you go, man. All right. Kevin Clark says, if you defended anyone who rioted, you don't get a say on gun control. If people who don't understand guns can pass legislation on guns, men can do the same for abortion. Y'all keep up the good work. There you go, man.
Patricia Swisher says 13 states allow non-citizens to vote. Look it up. Yeah. How do we not get ripped apart if you've got states that allow non-citizens to vote? I don't know, man. All right, we can grab a couple more. We got so many. All right. Carpe Donctum says, thanks for saying it, Tim. For saying which one? I'm not sure. Matt Walsh thing? Trevor Ritzky says, speaking of Magic the Gathering, have you seen how the game is so complex you can literally make a Turing complete computer? Can you do that? Really? I'm wondering if, like, I didn't see what was going on because in my video I said Matt Walsh instead of Joe Walsh. And then a bunch of people probably sent it to him and he was probably like, what?
I'm sure he's like, what is going on right now? I'm doing my best.
But if you look it up, I'm sure Matt knew Joe Walsh interviewed him, and he went, no, no, no.
Other Walsh.
I'm surprised nobody emailed me about it.
They commented on my Instagram, and I was like, what on earth are they talking about? I thought someone was just losing their mind.
Oh, people were.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's so weird.
It's just sometimes it's just I pull a Biden, you know, said the wrong name.
We all do.
Oh, I feel so bad about that. Everyone tell Matt that I'm sorry. We like Matt Walsh.
I love him.
All right.
That's cool.
Yeah. Ryan Calkin says, at this point, the government should just legalize an annual purge night. People loved those movies, though. I never watched them. I've not watched a single purge movie.
No? Me neither. You got to watch it. You got to watch at least one.
Maybe the first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll watch one. I thought it was funny, like all crime.
You haven't seen either, Cass?
No.
All crime, you got to check it out.
Which one's the best one?
First one.
Okay. That's where I'm going.
There you go.
All right. Sir Lemon Grab says, Tim, how do you feel about 3D printing with metal? I would say unacceptable, but that's just for your name. In reality, no, it's pretty cool. I watched a video, I think they use lasers, and it was like metal dust or something, and then it like 3D printed an object. It's like not very strong. I don't know.
Yeah, it superheats the dust and then melts it and reforms.
Is that how it works?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. Man. Yeah. That's cool.
It's a lot of potential.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already, would you kindly smash that like button, subscribe to this channel, share the show with your friends, let Matt Walsh know I'm very sorry for using his name incorrectly when I was talking about Joe. Head over to timcast.com, become a member, subscribe. We are going to have a members-only show coming up at 11 or so p.m. You can follow the show at timcast.irl. You can follow me personally everywhere at timcast. Cash, do you want to shout anything out?
Thanks for having me. The book, please buy The Plot Against the King. It's the number one children's book in America. Adults can learn about Russiagate while teaching their kids. You're going to love it. The truth matters. That's what the whole purpose of the book is. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Where do people buy it?
Go to either theplotagainsttheking.com or check out fightwithcash.com. All the information is there. Get a copy. I signed 4,000 over the weekend, so we're going.
You want to shout anything out, Adrian?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, brother. Yeah. And for anybody who wants to follow me, you can do so at Adrian Norman DC on all the old platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. On the newer platforms like True Social, just Adrian Norman. And we can duke it out online.
All right. Ian Crossland, you guys, thank you so much for coming. Cash, Adrian, love you guys, man. It's great to see you again, dude. Good to meet you finally for the first time. Well, eventually, finally we meet. And I wanted to tell everyone, I was on Pop Culture Crisis today, episode 127. It's YouTube.com. I think it's probably just search Pop Culture Crisis on YouTube. You're going to find it.
Pop Culture Crisis is wonderful. That is always a good time. I've been filling in every Wednesday for them, and it's always a blast. It's a kind of a field that I don't usually get into, so we talk about a lot of cultural stuff. Great time.
And, real quick, Pop Culture Crisis, when you super chat, money guns
fire. Yeah, it's unbelievably distracting. Awesome. And the stink bugs and the money flying through the air, it's really thick.
One went in my coffee. It was hilarious.
Good times, yeah.
Money or a stink bug?
Yeah, one of the monies went in my coffee.
One
of the 20s.
That's better than a stink bug. They were all over me.
The next step is going to be to have they did the parties today, I think. Yeah. So once a certain number of super chats get reached on Pop Culture Crisis, lights go off and money guns start firing
party.
Like crazy.
Woo.
Yeah, we're talking about crisis adding parties. Some music and like things flying by behind me as it's on. I mean, nuts.
Okay, that just sounds a little distracting.
That's me.
Anyway, it is a great time if you guys want to check out Pop Culture Crisis. They're also on YouTube. Brett works very hard on that, and it's going to be awesome in the future. You guys may follow me on Twitter and Minds.com at Sarah Patchlitz, as well as Sarah Patchlitz.
We will see you all over at timcast.com for that members segment. Thanks for hanging out.
Bye, guys.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.